You're listening to Around Comics, episode 3. Chicago, this is Around Comics, the comic culture podcast for the month of January, even though it's kind of April.
Happy
January.
New Year!
Happy New Year's! Hey there, folks, I'm Christopher Niesman.
Happy Christmas!
I'm joined by Mr. Brian Salazar.
Hello.
And Mr. Tom Faders.
Oh, that's a delicious beer.
Isn't that tasty?
I haven't had a beer in like 4 days.
Well, that one will take care of you right there. Yeah. And our guest de jour, our guest de month.
De Mons is
a returning buddy of ours, Mr. Tim Seeley.
Good day. Thank you for having me.
Hey, buddy.
It's really good to see you guys all together.
Yeah.
Feels good, doesn't it?
Reunion tour. I like it. I like it a lot. I like that you're the new 52 podcast.
Relaunched. Well, this would be kind of like the Who reunion tour.
Still no women.
And so you're the Keith Moon stand-in.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
There's still no women involved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
in comics.
In comics.
Yeah. And in comics and rock and roll,
yeah.
We don't have room for ladies.
It's 2012. We have a limited number of episodes left to bring you before the
end
Mayan,
of the world,
before the Mayan calendar runs out.
Forgot about that.
Yeah,
you better get cracking.
Happy New Year to everyone. I hope everyone's holidays and New Year's were happy and fun and safe and filled with comic books and all that kind of stuff. Everyone have a good holiday.
Very relaxing. Very relaxing.
I had a real good time. I had a great lot of sweet gifts, a lot of comic book related gifts.
Really?
I won't have to buy anything for like a year at the rate of which I'm reading things. I'll be set.
People finally realized you were a comic book fan and started buying you.
Yeah, well, you know, I put it on my Amazon wish list, you know, because it's stuff like when like one of those Hellboy library editions come out, I'm always just like, I'll just put it as a on my wish list, and my mom can get it.
Yeah,
you know,
you gotta have those mom backup gifts.
Because mom loves nothing better than buying Hellboy for her young
my
son.
My mom bought me Lost Girls 1 year. I put it on my Amazon. That actually fucking happened. I put it on my Amazon wish list, and I got it for. I just put it on there because I thought someday I'll buy this, and then I go home for Christmas, and then I get it. And my mom says, yeah, I had to fill out some paperwork to get that one.
What's in there, Timmy?
Tim, why'd you get a pornographic book? Yeah.
So I sat there and read it on Christmas Eve, and I was like, oh, this is not right
it's
at
filthy.
All.
It's just filthy.
Yeah. This is wrong.
This is so weird. We're sitting here in Chicago at Challengers Comics and Conversation, and it's January, and there's joggers running by in shorts and
T-shirts.
It was
almost, I think it hit 60 degrees today. It's January 5th, 6th, yeah, whatever it is.
And but I keep hearing this thing where it's like we're supposed to have the worst winter, like of the country, we're supposed to have the worst winter in Chicago. Like Almanac should, you know.
It was cloudy.
When's it coming?
It was cloudy.
It was a little cloudy.
Yeah,
it's probably worse than everybody else.
I don't know. Man, but Chicago, unpredictable. This could go either way. Obviously,
go bad.
This could go good. This could go bad. I don't.
This,
you know,
this will be a time capsule episode that whenever we get to February, it's going to be like, oh, there's 40
feet of snow. Why did I say anything?
Yeah.
It's crazy. You know, I did not get that much comic-related stuff from close friends and family.
Maybe that was a hint.
It may have been.
Quit being a nerd.
Yeah, my family.
You got a lot of bad products.
You gave me whiskey stones.
Why, am I going to buy you comic books?
Yeah, exactly.
What are whiskey stones?
Whiskey stones are little non-porous stones, or little blocks that you put in the freezer and they chill, and then you put them in a glass of whiskey so it doesn't water down the whiskey, but it cools it.
Okay. Yeah. I thought it was going to be something like, this is old whiskey that's turned to rock. Like, this is the oldest whiskey known to man. Here you go, Chris.
For those of us
eating it like hard candy, like Werther's.
You're instantly drunk for like a month. Yeah. You eat one and you're just fucking done.
That sounds like an awesome idea.
Yeah, it's kind of nice.
Let's make that. No, they're great. Like dorky stuff. If you have like a nice 80 proof bourbon that you don't want to cut with water,
yeah,
but you want to chill it.
Yes, we're on a comic book podcast. Talking about bourbon isn't dorky stuff.
Yeah.
Welcome to our world.
What would you recommend for someone who enjoys a nice glass of Siberian ice vodka before they go to bed? Like in a pint glass all the way to the top.
All the way to the, I would hit rehab.
Or the meniscus. The meniscus, the like thing, how the water, like the surface tension makes a bubble where the, like, the vodka's almost going over there.
You feel all the way to
gotta
the
gotta sip it real quick before you, you know, take it to your dark room.
And coming from me, you know, this comment, that's a problem. That's
yeah, no, it's fine. It's not a big deal.
It's good.
It's, yeah.
Sorry. So school's going well for you then, Tom?
School's going real well.
What comic book bounty did you guys get? Anything cool?
Read
anything over the holidays?
I got the Losers Omnibus, the Kirby Losers Omnibus.
Oh, man,
I got
that's that. Really nice. Awesome.
I got Bean World Volume 2.
I still need to read.
I got Skyscrapers of the Midwest,
mm-hmm.
which is what I'm going to talk about today.
Yeah,
I got
Chicago Zone.
I got the Hellboy Library Edition. I got a bunch of stuff, man. I got a ton of shit to read.
Jeez. Cool, nice.
Yeah,
nice.
I'm real simple though.
I got some DC comic pint glasses.
Oh, ooh.
Combine your.
I think I got that same set.
Yeah, my sister got me that. Other than that, nothing comic really.
Like did you get Whiskey Stones?
I didn't get that. No, I did not. I bought those for Chris. No.
You got
I did get the Star Trek
box of beer.
I got a big box of beer.
Oh.
I got the Star Trek Blu-ray set.
Star Trek?
Yeah.
Cool.
Movie, the Star Trek movies.
Yeah. Even 5?
Yeah, they're all in there. I don't think you can order it without all of them.
I'll watch them all.
Wait, is that the one with the whales?
Yeah.
No, that's 4.
Oh, that's 4. Wait, which one's 5?
5's the one where they find God.
God, yeah.
Oh, right.
The Final Frontier.
No, Final Frontier is 6.
Oh.
5 is the one that apparently
we've all tried to forget about.
I've seen it.
Yeah, I just watched. I was actually just watching it. It was on cable the other day. It was bad. I just watched a little of it.
I recently watched Wrath of Khan, and as much as you would have asked me how, like, what's your favorite Star Trek movie, I would have said Wrath of Khan. But in watching it again, it's sort of ridiculous.
I would say my favorite one is the new Star Trek. Like, 2010 yeah. Star Trek is my favorite one at this point.
I like the Jonathan Frakes directed one with the Borg. That was fucking cool.
Yeah, that was
Regeneration cool. or
was it First Contact?
First Contact. That was
pretty good. Cool.
Jonathan Frakes has turned into quite the director. He's does a lot of TV. I think he directs a lot of the Leverage episodes.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, he's.
I was watching
with his mustache.
Oh my God! Yeah. What can he do?
Shave.
I was watching the
Captain
original,
of Ship.
The original. The original Star Trek on Netflix. They have the remastered
those are cool.
They actually really are cool. They did a really nice job, like, redoing some of the special effects where...
Yeah,
I was watching with my kids.
Do you like the cutscenes? Because the cutscenes are... It's kind of like the Star Wars stuff, which we've talked about, where it's so blatantly... New
cutscenes. What do you mean? Cut
well,
scenes.
they
I don't even know what you're talking
like
about.
Like the new ship flying through the.
Yeah.
To me, it was flawless. Like, okay. I haven't watched the original Star Trek in a long time. So, you know, I went back and I just sat down and watched like the first 3 or 4 episodes with my kids. And they really liked it too. But we were just watching. I was kind of laughing and they were enjoying it. But at one point, I'm like, wow, that was a pretty cool looking special effects for 1960,
sure,
whatever.
Yeah.
I'm like, that seemed weird. I didn't really register that they had remastered or anything until I was talking to somebody about it, and they're like, "Oh yeah, those are the remastered." I'm like, "Oh, that makes sense." But other than that, I didn't really even notice.
What about the fart jokes they went back and added?
They're okay. Some of them are good, and you know,
Misa here to help you, Spock.
No,
so terrible.
There's none of that in there.
Oh,
but yeah, I don't know where I was going with all that. But they had the cool remastered ones on Netflix, which were pretty cool.
All those Vulcan farts. They're just
speaking of Star Trek.
That's logical.
The guy from Sherlock,
Cumberbatch.
Sherlock, yeah,
Benedict Cumberbatch.
He's going to be the villain in the next
that
Star Trek
fucking
movie.
Name, man.
Yeah, I heard that.
Is he Khan? Because he'd make a sweet Khan.
I don't know if they're doing Khan.
He's also the motion capture guy for Smog.
I don't think they're just going to do Khan. I don't think they'll even do Khan.
Yeah, Cumberbatch is.
I don't know.
He's He's all, it's going to be in The Hobbit. And
I wish you would have watched the new episode of Sherlock.
Well, you know, Watson about, Watson is going to be Bilbo, right?
Martin Freeman.
Yeah, he has a name.
Watson.
Well, Watson.
Martin Freeman. He's been in a lot of things besides.
He's Watson.
Condescending much? No.
Tim from The Office. Yeah. That's why I was
in Office. I liked him in Love Actually. But, I just didn't. I'm terrible with actor names. Yeah, he was. He was the one that he was.
What, are you kidding? I didn't watch that movie.
My wife complained one weekend.
We've all diddled our vaginas to Love Actually. You guys, don't fucking try to get out of it.
My wife complained like 3 weeks ago because I made her watch. I was like, let's see what's on Netflix or Amazon streaming, and I just picked something, and then
Shaolin
she was like,
Monk from
she was just like, why can't we ever just watch like Love Actually? she's like, I'm sure I wouldn't even really like it, but it would just be nice just to watch like a normal movie that somebody else watches.
But every dude, like that's a very like girly ass movie. But most dude, like Scotty Young, that's his favorite film. I mean, I'm not calling Scotty out right now. If he's listening, he'll be mad.
That's my favorite. I like how physically you like leaned over.
I don't even know.
No, I had a hair in my I had one of my own mustache hairs in my teeth. That's why I had to do that. But anyway, yeah. Like,
what is that? Which one is that movie?
It's like several stories that happen kind of around Christmas. Liam Neeson.
Alan Rickman,
the guy from Walking Dead.
I don't think I actually ever did see it.
It's a cute movie.
It's cute. It's so cute it'll make you fucking shit. But it's, you know, it's like one of those movies that as a guy you can watch.
It's like every popular British actor and actress.
What was the one? Americans.
Keira Knightley.
Yeah, Keira Knightley.
Ooh.
Andrew Lincoln is the guy from Walking Dead. He's in there. And then,
he's in love with Keira Knightley.
Yeah. I always hear
that. But Keira Knightley's married to his best friend.
Wait, is Andrew Lincoln British?
Yeah.
That's shocking.
I'm sorry.
Jesus.
They all are.
All actors.
Or Australian. If they're not British, they're Australian. Maybe New Zealand, but real unlikely. But they're not American.
There's not a lot. Yeah, shit. Not American. When's Obama going to get on that shit? There's all these fucking foreigners in our TV shows. Those are jobs.
Well, exactly. Regulate.
We were talking about Cumberbatch, right? Is it Cumberbatch?
Yep.
Sherlock?
Yeah. Which, I'm going to ask you about it, but you can't spoil it.
It's not a real name.
But you can't spoil it.
I haven't seen it yet either.
The new one.
Wait, wasn't that okay? So my understanding is that there was one like that was set in a comic book sort of thing, but they canned it. Is there a different episode?
What?
The new season of Sherlock.
Yes,
they filmed an episode that was based on the old, based on an old story that they replaced the whatever characters with geeks. It was a comic book themed one, but they shit canned it.
Oh yeah, this had nothing to do with comic.
Books. That must be the real actual first episode.
Yeah.
Of the season. Okay.
Yeah, no, that's Stephen Moffat that does that, right?
Yeah.
Why does it seem like you're talking about something else, though?
No, it's Sherlock. I'm positive. Really? Yeah, absolutely.
Mm. It got delayed for a while, so maybe that was
why. Maybe they should cancel.
This had nothing to do with
it. He's working on Doctor Who.
So. Yeah. But they actually literally filmed an episode that they didn't use.
Why?
I don't know.
Any idea why?
I don't know. I didn't read the article. I love this show, but I didn't.
It's too much Marvel. People complain.
Well, DC relaunch, all the comics
are old. This is so Marvel biased.
Some dude was talking about a comic book that didn't exist anymore. A character that gotten
You have to list as many DC books.
it's like politics. You have the liberal and conservative sides of each other. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I figured that you didn't have time to hang out on forums now that you're back in school.
I know what goes on. shit changed on the internet recently. I'm seeing people proclaiming that one of the two companies sold more than the other, and they devote entirely too much of their own identity to a giant corporation that doesn't give a shit about them.
Yeah,
like,
you're right.
Tom's doing his Karnak over here.
Like, they don't care.
That was my post. What are you talking about? That was an email I sent to you,
well,
Tom.
That was what was shocking to me. One thing that did come out in the – or not come out. One of the things that happened in the last month is that Marvel put out an official statement that they were in favor of the SOPA Act.
Yeah, well, they're owned by Disney.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, they're a company that creates a product that gets pirated on the internet. Well,
all of
and
their
people,
products.
And people are surprised that they're going to support this bill.
I mean – most
Who
of those
was
companies, but most of those companies, I think, didn't. They just said, "Oh, it's SOPA." They didn't. It restricts these things, but It actually works against most of their interests, I think, if they actually looked into it more. I mean, but I, and whatever. I hate internet power. I fucking deal with it every day. But if those corporations had spent more time looking into it, they wouldn't have instantly thrown their...
There's flaws in it beyond what they think.
Yeah, and if they... I mean, and they're... Obviously, their interests are making money.
What are those flaws, just to play devil's advocate? Jesus.
Like, you could really use it... You could use the restrictions. Like, the language of it is so...
It's very
vague.
It's
it could
very
be really
general
used for
to shut down any website.
Yeah, like anything with images of anything that like.
But in the end, it doesn't. It doesn't actually
well, we always
do
say,
what they want it to do.
Yeah, it doesn't.
The things that they wanted to cut doesn't really do, and I think it. I mean, it's just that sort of general thing where regulating the internet is not understood by the people who wish they could regulate the internet. And
well, I don't know. I mean, the majority of digital comics, if we're just talking about digital comic books, the majority of the sharing of digital comics is done through websites that
offer torrents or websites
that offer direct download links. If you start shutting those sites down or blocking their access, I mean, that's going to stop.
It doesn't, though. Well, I mean, I don't know. I wish
I'm
I could.
Not, I'm
I
not,
know
I'm
we're talking
not,
about.
The thing is,
you play devil's advocate, but
The thing is,
this wasn't the way to go.
You can totally shut down torrent sites. There aren't any in the U.S. like that many anymore.
Well, no, but all of them are outside. That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
They're all outside of the U.S. and they can't stop them.
I was going to say, it is funny when like Marvel or DC are like in favor or something like that and people really like get up in arms about it. It's because nerds love petitions. It's because they do, right?
Boycotts,
like
petitions
used to be a thing that they'd have you do because it was a waste of time. So you would get away from them. You know, like, you know what? If you get enough signatures, we'll stop. So you'd go run off and you'd spend 3 months doing it and they wouldn't have to bother. But now with the internet, you just send a link like, sign this internet pledge. You know, now it's like
100,000
whatever.
Useless signatures. And
but I think it's just that people like to be outraged by like what comic companies do, because somehow the comic companies have done this like really weird thing where they've like been like you and me are friends.
Well, no, I mean, that
you
was
know,
the, I mean,
and
you,
like,
you go back to you know God Stan Lee and probably way before EC did that. Is that it was about marketing themselves as you know we understand you and creating that. That sense of loyalty with their customers, and that's why we have people who are Marvel zombies or you know part of DC
Nation.
I mean,
every time I go to a con, someone tries to sort of
pick a fight.
They're not pick a fight, but they want to discuss like
what the fuck, Tim Seeley.
Well, what were you? What are you like a Marvel or DC guy? I'm like, I don't know. They make comics. I read comics. You know what I mean? Like, I don't.
People love to pick sides and feel part of
it. It's like politics.
That's what you
are. Yeah. But I mean, it's like politics.
Are you a Bears fan? Or are you a Packer fan?
Yeah, exactly.
Are you a Democrat? Or are you a Republican? Whatever. And
right.
then whenever a company, which is a company, does something that doesn't match up with what you want it to, then people get upset. How can they do this?
The perceived version of yeah. But
yeah.
I mean, whatever. It's so ridiculous. But yeah, I mean, like obviously the problem with you know stealing stuff and the torrents and all this stuff is an issue, but the way that companies have chosen to deal with it and the way the government has proposed things to deal with it, by the time that they get those things out, they're outdated. They usually end up hurting the wrong people and they're not effective.
It's hard to legislate ahead
right
of
exactly
the
curve. So you
yeah
have to basically you need a societal change towards the way that people view stealing creative stuff. That's what you need. It's a whole thing. I mean, we could do it. You could do a whole podcast about that. But that's obviously what these kind of things don't handle. They don't handle the actual societal attitudes about it. They restrict things. They just push people underground. You know what I mean? It's, I don't know.
Sure.
It's easy to say, don't
Tim
fucking torrent
wants
my book
to get paid cash money.
We don't like
pay
it.
That man his where's money.
Where is Tim's money?
But I don't want to regulate it that way.
What are you doing now? I just want to say that.
Bitch Blade.
No, I understand. I mean, I certainly understand people, but I always kind of laugh too. Like, people look at something like SOPA and they go, "Oh Jesus, it's just the next step towards, you know, New World Order and like censorship."
Yeah,
1984, and it's like, well, not really. I mean, okay, so they shut down a website, and if it's wrong for them to do it, it's like there's appeal processes. There's
sure.
A whole, I mean, like it's not just like this. You know, somebody sitting there with a switch and going, "Oh, he's, you know, gone," and there's nobody looking at it. Nobody.
People are acting like they haven't been shutting down sites, which they have. They do it all the time.
Well, in the U.S., yeah,
that's it's not necessary.
I mean, you're throwing a lot of rights to corporations. You're not throwing those same rights to the individuals. Creators. And it's. Yeah. I mean, it's
whatever.
The shit isn't going to be right for a long time, but hopefully.
I mean, everything should just be fucking open source.
Well, it's just like when you try to regulate, you think of the kids. I mean, the current. I mean, you hate to go like the kids today, but basically, like they don't. The idea of buying an album is not something they're.
Oh, it's foreign.
It's not even something that they say. Well, that's dumb. They just don't. They're not. They don't know it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
They don't exist.
It doesn't exist
in their purview. No,
it doesn't happen. I mean, like downloading a song and paying 99 cents, they get. But you know what I mean? But like going, treating things as though they are, you know, the only way to get them is through what we decide is the distribution method. It's done.
I have a daughter who's 9 years old. She's going to be 10. And think in like 5-6 years from now. She's going to be 15, 16 years old, say.
Should be voting for her first cyborg president.
And by that, by that time,
John McCain?
She already uses my iPad. She already wants like an
iPod
thing or whatever. And that's going to be very common to her. And like, I sort of imagine her at some point just like, if we still are publishing $4 comic books.
Yeah, same
work. You know what I mean? Like, they won't even, it'll be like, what? What are you doing? What is the? You know, what is this? This is crazy.
This is stupid.
Sure.
Yeah, it's just.
I mean, they're that way now. I mean, like, they, you know, I've seen kids get excited about.
Well, of course, there was $6 comic books.
Yeah. But it's not even about, like, the value or anything like that. It's just that, you know, for the way that they look at things, it's like, well, I gotta pay money, go get it. And then it takes up space and what the fuck. Like, it's not the way that we think about stuff. So, you know, I mean, that's.
But can a PDF have a sweet placeholder ribbon?
That's the whole thing.
They do have bookmarks.
Beautiful objects still are still. Beautiful objects are still beautiful objects. Like, that's a beautiful object. Like, that's an item. It's
well printed.
Yeah. Kids still get that. Like, I've seen, you know, like, if you give somebody something that is special, I mean, like, the disposable method of distributing things is done. You know what I mean? Like, just a shitty, here's a cassette that cost, or whatever CD that costs, whatever, and it's fucking disposable. Or I can just put it on my computer, which is something I want to fucking listen to. Or if it's just a comic, I just want to fucking read it, I'll just do it digitally. I don't need a $3 pile of paper that, you know, I can, they're not going to get
it. This is a really pretty object.
What object are you holding? Tom
can't wait to talk about this book.
It's my genitals.
Awesome. Oh, God. Why do you have a ribbon around your genitals? Good Lord.
It's part of my religion.
Oh. All right.
Catholicism is a strange.
It is a gorgeous book.
I was holding up Skyscrapers of the Midwest because it does have a placeholder ribbon, which I always enjoy when a book has a placeholder ribbon. Because then
the
last Lock and Key
volume didn't have one after the first three did, and it's like, what the fuck?
Is it?
Is there a sketch in the front of that?
I don't think so.
No, it's like a shitty kid's version. Yeah. It's awesome.
Maybe the Lock and Key are expected to read it in one sitting.
Fucking power sword. Holy shit, they do a He-Man thing.
Yes.
By the way, I was going to say, my geek Christmas present was my brother got me Wonder Bread He-Man, which is the most rare of all He-Man figures. No one knows how many exist.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wonder Bread He-Man?
Yeah. It's got brown hair. Was made before the figures, so the figures came in 82. It was made in 1981. And no one knows exactly what the deal is and
where it came
indeterminate
from.
Numbers. They think it was Wonder Bread, but Wonder Bread has no documentation of it.
Wait, what? Wonder Bread made it?
It was a mail away, like you bought something. But no one's exactly sure. It's like this fucking notorious.
It's like a prototype.
Yeah,
what's
they made it before.
That's some weird shit.
Yeah, it's pretty weird.
Like,
man.
No one knows. No one knows
where
this is.
Where did he get it from?
I don't know if you know my brother, but he's down with the fucking toy nerds, man. He's So, like, I mean, I have a He-Man collection, and I have every figure that's, like, easy to get, but he's trying to get me into the shit that I can't, which I appreciate because I'll never be able to find this. He's giving me the stuff that's, like, the whispered under tables and shit.
So the I got underground He-Man.
Yeah, Ted, this like, is for you. Wow. What is this, a He-Man? It's a Wonder Bread He-Man.
It's weird. I know. It's kind of a fucking funny thing.
Keep it on your breath. Keep it on your breath.
Making it called Wonder Bread He-Man makes it even
more confusing. What's the street value of a Wonder Bread He-Man?
I don't think that if they're in good shape, they go for no less than $200
to $300. Wow.
If they're in perfect condition, it's still in the bag. They're probably up to 1,000 or something there. I mean, because they're so weird. No one really knows it.
Well, the bread in the bag's got to be really old.
But it's Wonder Bread, so it's still
edible. So it's still edible.
It's not really bread.
Yeah. It's like just
it's like foam.
That's crazy. It's like a super weird, rare precursor. Yeah. Like He-Man. Yeah. Like this is
apparently. I guess what the current theory is because no one exactly. The weird part is like, which makes it so highly collectible because. No one knows. Like, one where it came from.
And an
Mattel
age
doesn't
know.
Have any version. But figure clearly exists.
I think somebody made this up in their basement. And
it's impossible because it has a stamp on the neck that's different than the other ones. So it would be impossible to do that. You know what I mean?
Like nothing's impossible.
Episode of Sherlock.
I don't know.
Whatever don't the know. Case may be. It's pretty interesting. But anyway, they're brown hair. They have black armor instead of
So is there a whole line of them or is it just He-Man? Just He-Man.
And apparently what people think happened was that when they Wonder Bread wanted to do a mail-away thing for Barbie, and
they said, "What about the boys?
What about the boys?" And they said, "Well, we're working on this thing, but it's not finished." And so they said, "Okay, well, we'll do that." And they just used the figure and they tested it this way.
They got like 60 kids fucking mailed in the thing, and they're like, "Oh shit!"
Yeah,
and they sent out.
And then they sent out these figures, and they
we got an idea. Don glued on this.
Don glued.
I hung out with Don at I went to the Masters Universe convention in L.A. and I hung out with Don the whole fucking weekend. It was a blast, man. And he was like,
really?
Oh, I remember. Yeah, we had a great time.
What's the Masters of the Universe convention like? If you are to compare it to a comic book convention.
Guys searching for fucking Wonder Bread He-Man.
That's not a criticism. But it's just my brother and I thought it was really funny because you can imagine in your head like, yeah, well, if you're really hardcore into He-Man and She-Ra, you know, I guess. And then you get there, you're like, we're the straight guys here.
Wow, the two straight guys.
That kind of would surprise
me. I mean, there was
other
straight guys. Obviously, Val Staples runs the show. And there's plenty. But
Val runs
that's
the
right.
show.
Val runs the
show. Oh, that's awesome.
Was anyone dressed as Orko?
There was no – no one really dressed up. That was probably the most interesting thing about it. But they
Val
did
does
have,
a podcast. He
yeah, I was on it, and he fucking ripped my ass out.
Whoa. Wow.
For the mini comics that I wrote.
Because they were non-canon?
Because they were, you know – short and designed to sell toys, and they weren't very deep, and they were like, dude punches dude, whatever, you know. Like,
but, wow. Man. Getting on your ass for...
He got on my ass for it, man.
When you're like,
oh, yeah.
When you're given an opportunity to add to the lore of He-Man and you don't take full advantage of it, you should be.
You don't take that seriously.
It was really your mistake for that.
You know, I'm sure Mattel would have loved that. But yeah,
a real turning point in the character's history in this mini comic.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, what was the book that you did that was kind of your parody?
Colt Noble and the Megalords, which you know, I mean, that's how I got the fucking He-Man job. But that's where I was like, I'll do my He-Man stories here. So I wasn't concerned about. I was just like, oh, I got to drop drawing He-Man, writing He-Man. I'm just going to do what Mattel wants. They want this dude punching this dude. I'll make this dude punching this dude, and then. The He-Man fans raked me over the coals.
You got killed.
You call yourself a He-Man fan?
Like, I'm one of you. I'm one of you.
Were you at a panel? Whatever. Were you at a panel and it was just a line of people like who weren't asking questions? But
slap me?
That thing that people do at conventions where it's not really a question. It's more of like a statement of
I
like,
just want you to know.
Assertive insult. Yeah.
So, Tim, whenever you decided to write this comic that sucks, what were you thinking?
Yeah, why did you ruin He-Man?
Why did you ruin He-Man? I literally had to justify it. It's like, no, I had 8 pages. That's maybe 32 panels if I'm lucky. So here's what.
Tim, what day of the week was it that you woke up and decided to destroy the He-Man universe single-handedly and write the single worst comic?
Tim, I'm having a hard time determining which one of Skeletor's minions you have the least amount of respect for.
Yeah, that was going into Val's depth question.
It was pretty great. I mean, and I've been friends with Val for probably 10 years.
You're like, yeah, like, I gotta scratch the colors just not off a, my list.
We're cool, but I was just, me beforehand. Like, Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, they do their fucking podcast. So he warns me the night before, he gives me an email, just so you know, it's probably gonna be kind of rough. And I was like,
what? You're just probably like, I'm gonna
rip you a new asshole about this.
Just to warn you. Well, at least he gave you the warning. You didn't see the follow-up email
that I sent because it's a mini comic.
Witchblade this week.
Yeah. And it's Witchblade.
Just because it's a mini comic doesn't mean it has to be a mini story, Tim. It can be a
mega story. Full size story in a mini comic, really, Tim.
Yeah.
Full size writing. Just saying.
Is there, like, there must be, I'm having a hard time imagining, like, a long amount of He-Man continuity. Because there isn't that much He-Man material, right?
Obviously there's not, I mean, there's cartoon. And
there's a sweet Dolph Lundgren movie.
Yeah. But no one really considers it, like, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like Spider-Man.
There's not, like, He-Man canon and...
Yeah, I mean, there's, it's, you know, anything that's based, I mean, G.I. Joe fans are... You, and Transformers fans are used to, like, multiple versions.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
before we go any further, just tread carefully. I don't want you to ruin your relationships with the He-Man fandom.
Oh, this is true. people are used to multiple versions of stuff. Because, you know, the mini comics were their own thing when we were kids, and the cartoon was its own thing, and the Star Comics line was its own thing, and, you know, the shit was all different. Nobody, like, goes, like... Oh, and that one issue was completely different. Like, it just was.
You do not get the voice of Orko correctly.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's not. You'd think that superhero fans would be a little more forgiving because, but comics have a Bible, and that is the comic. Like,
yeah,
you know, what I mean? Nobody goes, well, in that one issue, one episode of the 1960s cartoon. They just think that as a version of
Yeah,
but they don't think of it as some kind of Bible. There's no real Bible.
There's no real true canon, right?
There's no. I mean, people, like Transformers fans will say that the Simon Furman run on the UK is their favorite, but they won't say that that's
Transformers. That's real Transformers.
Right.
The He-Man canon is all in my mind. It's years of playing with toys.
Years, yeah.
That's the real
story. And that's the other thing, too.
Incredible stories.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the other thing, too, is that those figures weren't designed when they were made. When they were made, there was no story. They were made for you to play with.
Right.
Like, oh, the story
you make
was,
up the story. Hey.
Yeah. The story was, she's the girl with the staff, and he's the guy with the sword. Right.
This is Triclops.
Yeah. Right. That's it. But
you know all of these characters, Tom. I'm impressed.
I had a bunch of them. The guy that was a battering ram where you'd hit the spring on the bottom. And
Ram-Man.
Yes.
But, yeah.
How could you forget Ram-Man?
How could you forget Ram-Man?
I had all of them. I was a crazy, and I'm sort of embarrassed about it now because I was probably too old at the time. When I still had them, I don't know when I was a kid,
they were big, and they sort of died out in like 87, 88.
Okay, well,
and 89, they put
82,
out
82. I was 11, so that's perfect.
The He-Man line, which was like Space He-Man, which no one liked, and then yeah, I mean the cartoon was over by like 86 or something like that.
I remember I sent away for like a mail-in He-Man poster that was like on a pack of bubble gum, and I never got it. And I was
you missed out. That poster was sweet. I know exactly the one you're talking about because that poster fucking rules. It has every character coming.
Yeah,
down
I know. That was what I wanted. I wanted that poster.
I got that right now. I got that fucker framed.
Hey, if you go
right next to it is Wonder Bread He-Man.
If you go to the He-Man convention, I'm sure you can pick it up.
Yeah, I'm sure. Maybe next year.
Hey, speaking of conventions, do you go to there's a horror convention out here. I don't know where it's somewhere in the suburbs, isn't it?
Well, there's a few. There's Flashback Weekend. There's Fangoria.
Where's Fangoria at?
They're actually in the same building area. I mean, they're basically both in Rosemont, I think.
Okay.
But, I mean, there's a few.
Do you go
there's,
to those shows?
I've done horror cons in the past, but, like, comic book guys and horror shows doesn't... I mean, it's not a bad thing, but, like, you know, how do you compete with... And at a comic convention, you can compete with a celebrity. Like, yeah. I mean, and that's not
right.
But I'm, you know, what I'm saying is like,
it's worth your time to go.
Right.
There are people there who want to see you.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, like
at a horror convention, like any goddamn given day, I'm sick
Robert Englund is not gonna. Nobody's gonna give a shit about you if you're sitting next to Freddy Krueger.
Because it's not they're there for the movies. The movies define that genre, you know. So, but I mean, it's still, I always have a good time, and I always end up getting to hang out with the dudes. Like, that's the best thing about horror conventions, is that you inevitably end up hanging out with England or Tom Atkins or somebody like that, which that is fucking, I pay to go to the show sometimes just to do that.
But, does Steve Niles do okay at those shows, I would imagine?
Hasn't done that. I used to see Steve at those shows, but yeah, I don't even know. I don't know. The horror thing has gotten kind of weird. It's not. I mean, the cons in horror stuff, unfortunately, are not as good as comic book horror cons.
Right.
And I'm not insulting anybody who run one. I'm sorry if you run one, but they're always sort of more ghettoized. It's like we're never going to have a we're never going to have a San Diego Comic Con of horror. What I'm saying? Like, it's not ever going to be like, you know, as legitimized. It's just, I love those people. Like, if you want to go to a bar and have the best fucking night of your life, go during a horror convention to the hotel bar and hang out with those motherfuckers. It's a blast, you know? Like, super cool people. But it's never, it's just not as legitimized. It's always a little bit, it's always overcharged. You know, I always feel bad for horror fans because, you know, you go to a show, you go to a Comic-Con and you want to get something signed by Bruce Campbell or something. The rate is going to be way less than when you go to some horror con and Bruce Campbell's
name. Oh,
yeah,
sure,
it's just, it's always way more expensive and, you know.
It's kind of like, you know, going to a store signing versus a convention.
Yeah.
You know,
it's not the same. I mean, it's awesome because it's really literally the only genre of film that has its own. There's no romantic comedy
convention. Action adventure.
Rom-com con.
I was asking
about
that.
Love Actually.
Rom-com.
Is there a Morrison con in?
Yeah. Richardson started that from. You know,
Morrison or Morrissey?
Morrison Khan. I would say Morrison Khan. But yeah.
There Jim is. Morrison?
No.
Grant Morrison.
Oh. Grant Morrison Khan?
Yeah, I haven't read up on it. But the reason I was asking about Steve Niles is I was watching.
Ron did start that?
Yeah. As I understand it.
No.
Ron Richards, yeah. As I understand it.
From My Fanboy?
Yeah. As I understand it. I could be wrong.
He might have started a Morrissey Khan.
Grant Morrissey Khan.
Oh, well, obviously going to have to find out about this. The reason I was asking do you watch the Chiller Network?
Yeah.
Steve Niles has a movie on Chiller, and it's called...
I haven't seen it yet, yeah.
It's Steve Niles, I forget the name of it.
This is scary. I don't know.
It's a zombie movie, but...
I can't think of it, but yeah, I
thought it was cool that, I mean, it's billed as, you know, Steve Niles.
Yeah, he's got a definite name in that world, man.
I'm hoping it's much better than Stan Lee's Harpies.
What?
I didn't even know that existed.
Stanley's Harpies is his ex-girlfriend. So that's
ba-dum-bum.
True believer.
Did you completely derail from Tom talking about...
Yeah, we talked about He-Man. I was ready to go to He-Man. When you hit a rich He-Man vein, you need to keep digging.
Keep digging on
that vein. Keep digging, my friend.
Well, sorry, I didn't realize that Skyscrapers of the Midwest has a Masters of the Universe scene.
It does.
Yeah.
That's how we got there.
Yeah. It's all about, you know, growing up in the Midwest, and it's about, I think ostensibly it's about Josh Cotter's childhood, though I imagine it's at least partially fictionalized. At least it seems sort of biographical.
I've always wanted to...
Did he write and draw that?
Yep. I've always wanted to drop
Josh a line to come in and talk about it.
Is he a local guy?
Yeah, he's a Chicago guy. But I think he wasn't like Rogers Park or something.
Grow up in the Midwest? Where is the book based?
In the Midwest somewhere.
Blanktown, USA?
They might have mentioned it, but it wasn't so definitive as to be important.
Shithole
St. Louis? Yeah, like, you know, Midwest. Hey, probably Wausau.
Hey,
like Wausau or Green Bay.
Yeah, probably Wausau.
Green Bay, all the same. So it deals with him, you know, the little kid, the star of the book, the younger brother. I don't know if he's ever called
by
name,
actually.
Did you
really read
this book? I did. It's done in such a... like, it's a bunch of different scenes, sort of. There's not, like, a totally tight story linking all of them, so it's just, like...
It's not incredibly linear.
One scene...
Collage of his
life. It's one scene. There's a thing of him at, like, summer camp, and he almost shits himself. So he has to go, like, shit in the forest, and a bunch of kids make fun of him.
He-Man stuff, and somebody almost shits their pants, and I didn't...
He didn't know about it.
God, Josh got
it. But a lot of it is about, sort of...
And he's local.
A lot of it's about, you know, the stuff that happens when you're a kid... that makes you no longer a kid. Like the first, you start getting picked on.
Oh.
The first time, you know, like he likes toy robots, and he has a favorite action figure called Nova Stealth, which is like a robot. And the other kids are making fun of him because he's a little too old to like it.
Like me and my He-Man.
Yeah, like He-Man collection.
I was like 16.
And there's one scene that's like his mom gets him a backpack that's like a robot backpack. And he knows he can't wear it to school because the other kids will make fun of him. So he goes and tells his mom, oh, you have to return it. And then you cut to the scene, and it's the robot backpack gets up, like walks outside, and drowns itself like in a pond. But, I mean, that makes it sound darker than it is. Because it's a little bit sort of – I've heard people talk about it where they're like, oh, it's such a downer. I kind of thought it kind of had like a little bit of a sense of humor to it, because it's so ridiculous to see this robot like backpack.
But what a sad moment, like that moment when you – because every kid has had that where your mom was so excited – so excited to get you something, and you knew that socially it was a dead end.
Even though you probably still dug it, because of society's pressures,
you more socially than your own. Knew it was a dead end. Like I totally remember the same thing where my mom got me a Carnage hat, like those like Spider-Man Carnage hat. When I was like 12, 13.
You can't wear. You couldn't wear.
Yeah, and everybody in my school was wearing like fucking Raiders and White Sox, all this gangster fucking gangster shit. And I was like, oh, man, it's so funny.
Yeah, this is Wisconsin.
No, this is, I can't fucking – I can't do it. I fucking can't do it. I wore it a couple of days, and I was like, this is
– I'm telling you, the He-Man stuff, the reason I brought it up, like, I think I was too old for – because I remember, like, the moment where I was like – I mean, I had, like, a box full of fucking He-Man figures. And I can remember, like, going, yeah, I think I might be too old for this.
Right?
I might, I think I got to stop – like, I'm shaving now. I got to stop. Yeah, I got to stop.
I always remember this very distinct moment. When I was 13 years old, I sold all my He-Man shit at a fucking garage sale. Mm-hmm. And my brothers, we sold every fucking thing we had. And I shit you not, 3 years later, I'm 16. I finally get my driver's license. I'm going to Goodwills and stuff, you know, like
trying to buy it back.
Well, first I go there to buy, it's like grunge era, so I'm going there to buy like fucking flannel shirts or whatever. And I start seeing He-Man guys. I'm like, fuck, man, why did I get rid of
him? I want my He-Man back.
So I started buying them at 16 again. 3 years later, I fucking regretted it, and I started buying the figures again.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, and then – but I think it's so sad to think like that I faced a point where I was like, throw the shit away.
Right.
And I – you know, what the fuck, man? Like that – why – it's so sad.
But I think it happens – but I like in the book, I've seen reviews where people are like, oh, it's like so tragic, all this sort of sad stuff that happens. But – I didn't really think of it as, like, tragic. It's just sort of, like, the stuff that happens that makes you not a kid anymore. You know, like, the difference between being a kid and an adult and being, like...
But, I mean, that is tragic.
That is tragic.
It is tragic.
But everybody has to go through it.
It happens, you know. Unfortunately, and, like, not everything that happens in the book, is necessarily sad. There's, like, a thing at the end where he's sort of, like... figures out, you know, like, oh, you know, like, I'm not a little kid anymore.
You're also talking about comic book fans who, you know... are trying to hang on to their childhood as long as possible.
Bit.
So something like that is very tragic.
But there's sort of a point in the book where the character is like, oh, okay, you know, like I'm not a little kid anymore. You know, I can't act that way or expect everyone to, you know, like treat me that way anymore. So it doesn't necessarily, like, it's not like a ode to like, oh, if we could only all stay children forever,
though, I mean, I think that's an awesome theme for a comic book, and I wish I had thought about doing it, but... one of the big, and that's kind of what Colt Noble always wanted to do with it. It was like, you know, this guy, sort of a teenager, always becoming an adult. That was going to be my like big thing of way to play up, you know, this sort of change of whatever. But now that I look back at childhood, I wish I had said, I had been able to say, oh, I can become an adult in the way I think, but I don't have to throw away everything from childhood.
Yeah, but I think that's like
stupid. I mean,
but
I think
it's impossible. It's like a thing that you can't possibly do that because like. What happens is you like something, and then because you're still kind of a kid, your reaction to like, oh, I'm changing, is to just still do like a childish thing.
Yeah.
Like, which is throw away your toys.
Yeah.
Because you're not mature enough to be like, I'll put them in a box and I'll enjoy them. I'll take them out and look at them, but I won't necessarily lay down
you
in the sandbox.
Like it's like you got to burn. You have to burn all those
rebuild from scratch.
Yeah. Instead of just be like, now, yesterday, whereas I played in the sandbox, now I will look at them and put them on a shelf. You know, like.
You get to a point where all of a sudden you, because of other, you know, friends or school, you know, you're embarrassed about it. You know what I mean? Like, all of a sudden it becomes, like, and it's like, why did I think this was so awesome? It's terrible. Everybody hates, you know, yeah. And that's why you have that reaction.
You know what I
think?
I have this weird thing. I can actually, I feel like maybe this is maybe a subject of a good comic book, is I can remember being ashamed of all that shit and not wanting to see it again until I had sex at like 17. And then I was like, oh, I don't feel so bad about getting it back up. You know what I'm saying? Like, there was some kind of moment where you're like, oh, I'm waiting for adulthood. I'm waiting for adulthood. Oh, I've had sex. Now I don't feel so bad about it. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
well, the virginity and, you know, is probably...
Well, no, it's the thing where you figure out when you're an adult.
Said, honey, I'll be back in a second. I'm going to Goodwill.
When you're young and you think that, like, everything you like or something that someone cares about what you like, and then you get to be an adult and you realize that no one gives a shit about what you like or like anything.
You also get to the point where, like, it doesn't fucking matter. If they do, who gives a fuck what they care about? You know, that's where you
But when you're a kid, it's hard to imagine about what you do or like. Because kids, you know, there's his younger brother, like, loses his dinosaur. Which actually, reminded me, like, some kid on the bus was like, oh, let me play with that. And then he dropped it out the window of the bus, which didn't happen to me with the dinosaur. But when I was in kindergarten, the kid took my Packers hat and threw it out the window. And I got in trouble because I kicked him in the stomach when he walked off the bus.
My first fight was my cousin and me were at a library. It was a library where we lived, and they had, like, a park in the back, and we were in the park, and these... three older kids took my cousin's hat and threw it in a pond, and I was going to make the one kid give it, you know, go and get it, and he wouldn't, so we got in a fight, and they were bigger kids.
Also, something that might draw your attention, Tim, is there's a lot of, like, there's imagery in the book of, like, while this kid is going through all this stuff, there's just sort of a giant robot wandering through the Midwest, like, sort of representing, like, this kid's, like, childhood is sort of ending, so it's just sort of wandering around, like, this giant, like, walking through by silos and stuff, just this giant
robot. I love the
robot.
Idea that he attached his childhood to these,
like, robots and action figures.
Well, it was.
It's a great representation, but to think of it in
especially if you grew up in the Midwest, because so much of, I mean, my brothers and I will talk about this a lot. Which was because we didn't connect on this sort of, like, sports, all that sort of shit that I think other kids sort of escaped into, that, like, we were highly affected by the escapist sort of fantasy comics. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, I mean, my brother is not a comic book guy, but he's an artist. And obviously we didn't escape this shit because all of my brother's art is, like, comic stuff and, you know,
right.
Action figures
fantasy,
and stuff. It's fantasy stuff.
Or porn stars.
And porn stars, yeah.
Bears.
But it's all, well, and that too.
And,
but, I mean, I think it's so evident that those things for at least our generation were, I mean, this is like pre-video games, and we did get video games, we were never that into it, but, like, I think you're going to see kids in the future, this is going to be the same thing. It's like you escape into these things, and your affection for those things represent all of your sort of developmental process. I mean, we're a pop culture, we're the first kind of pop culture generation where we were able to, you know, do that, waste time and not try to survive.
I'm going to play Modern Warfare for 89 hours.
Yeah.
Hey, man, this weekend, I'm spending the entire weekend in Skyrim. I've got my bags
what
packed.
What is Skyrim?
RPG
video games.
It's like a Dungeons and Dragons video game.
It's the
basically.
Thing that Mike Norton talks about every day. Every day he goes out. Hey, last night I was supposed to kill this guy. And I go, Mike, what?
No, Skyrim.
My
Skyrim avatar.
Skyrim, Tim.
My thief cat face guy. He's a cat. He's a thief. He's just got a cat face.
It's basically just like the video game Dungeons and Dragons. You're able to create a character and you create his race and what he, you know, is good
video
at.
Video games
and then,
are like this thing that I don't understand. Like,
I don't
I'm on
know.
Like well, Twitter.
Here,
people.
Tom, this is the thing. It's electronic images.
That's right.
That
I
you
get
control.
That.
Oh.
But like the idea that like all of a sudden Skyrim came out and everyone was talking about it and I was just like, what the fuck is Skyrim?
I usually
know what's going on.
I have not been hooked on a game in over a decade. I mean, I played Call of Duty a little bit.
Since RBI Baseball.
Pretty much. Yeah, since, like, you know, the NES system. Yeah, this is the first video game where it's like, I want to go home and play
Skyrim
right now.
It's pretty addictive.
Yeah.
Because it's a very good RPG, but also, like...
Quests.
You can, there's quests, and it's very free roam. You can go anywhere and talk to whoever and fight and go on adventures and... There's like this overall sort of, you know, big arcing quest, but there's all these little things that you can go pretty much anywhere in this world and do. But then you can also like spend hours and hours doing stuff like
learn how to make swords.
Yeah, like how to make swords, how to make potions, how to make leather, you know, armor.
You could also do that in like real world.
You know, so like it,
you could do that, yeah, right?
Yeah, you could actually learn how to make a sword.
You could.
But I mean, I'm fascinated because I'll listen to my friends talk about like doing Skyrim shit, and they're like, yeah, so I had to like build up my guy by taking classes or something. Like,
yeah.
When did you just you just could have done that? You could have taken class. You know what I'm saying? It's such a weird idea to me to like live in a video game. Like, I get it. I get like flying an airplane and shooting other airplanes. Like, I get I get.
Well, Pac-Man. But that's like you're learning to do these things so your character can go fight a dragon and is better at it. I mean, that's, you know, there's a reason for it. But I'm Chris is very much into the idea of building shit, like you know, making armor and enchanting weapon.
I think building up my smithing skills is very cool because I want to make the elven blade. And Sal
just
wants to go
kill shit and steal its elven blade. You know? I just want to go kill Chris.
I just imagine
after he builds
Chris's like character just sitting by like an anvil with like hot steel, just sweating away over it. You know,
pretty
like,
much. It's not steel. It's refined moonstone.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, it's hard to handle. You know, you got to be careful with that refining.
But I had to mine. I had to mine the moonstone ore first, and then refine it.
So
Skyrim
is not a believer in the division of labor.
No,
as far
as your own shit.
You can't hire a dude to do it.
Well, no, you can, but you got to have the goal. I mean,
there's not a Skyrim version of Mexicans.
Is there a Skyrim?
Jesus.
Is there a 1% in the Skyrim?
Yes. Yes. Yes, absolutely. FIBA. They are called Jarls.
What though?
I'm
fascinated.
They rule the holds. So
you don't play video games at all, Tom? You're not a video game guy?
Not a ton.
No.
I don't have the time now to do it. So like I play sports once every once in a while with somebody else, but I haven't been like a big video. I'm not saying that video that you guys shouldn't play. I mean, they make more fucking sense than reading some comic books sometimes.
See, well, this is honestly the first time that I've ever found myself on the other side of the argument. You know, we talked price and comics and that kind of stuff, where I was like, okay, I spent $60 on this game that I will probably play 100 hours at least.
Sure.
By the time I'm done,
yeah,
with
probably
it.
More than
that's,
that. I mean,
that's pretty decent return on
investment.
On your investment.
That's.
Do you have a cat thief?
No, I have a wood elf, and I'm trying to decide whether I should go down the conjurer path or go.
God, when he says
it's a big decision.
When he says it, it sounds so nerdy.
That's a big decision in a young
it
was man's
meant to sound nerdy.
In any young man's life is whether to become a conjurer or
a
smithy.
Smith, yes.
Well, take your time. No rush.
Well, that's the thing. It's just like
you can always go. You can always change your mind.
You can take a dip in Lake U and just really figure it out.
I'm taking a break in Skyrim just to do me. Like, I'm sick of mining and I'm going to go on a vacation, you know?
Oh. I'm tired of swinging a pickaxe.
I don't blame you.
Second Life is the only thing I find really legitimately completely creepy.
That is absolutely creepy.
But you're not even doing anything that's...
You like, can't do in real life.
Like, you can't fight a dragon in it. You're like, it's
no, I
like,
don't get that at all.
Like, well, I don't even understand like the element of.
Well, you have to like take out the trash and stuff.
Yeah, it's basically, like,
it's
like
your
life.
Second life.
It's your second life.
It's. I mean, life. Is
funny
so much
enough,
more.
Though, you probably could become a blacksmith in Second Life.
Okay. My whole thing on that is, if I'm gonna have a second life, I'm gonna have a real second life and like have a different wife with like a whole package. You know what I'm saying,
well,
like,
I think it's Tim Seeley's second life. Welcome to Tim Seeley's second life.
Yeah, like, I set up a franchise and got a wife from the South Side or whatever. You know,
I think a huge part of Second Life is like going out and trying to and having sex with other people, whether and like.
But it's not real sex, though.
Well, right. Yeah, I don't
you could also
I'm
just...
I'm not trying to explain it.
No,
I'm telling you what it
is. But I'm saying you could also just jerk off. This is on
well,
saying.
I think I would... Yeah.
That's Tim's response to
well,
everything.
Listen, Tim, it's not a black and white world. I can jerk off and have sex in Second Life. What's the problem? Why can't I do both?
I bet there are plenty of people jerking off while playing Skyrim.
Exactly.
I'm sure there are plenty of people.
I know.
Well, speaking of video game insanity, I was reading an article about a guy who paid like $120,000 or something for
When you got to 120, I was like, "Ooh, that is expensive." $1,000,
like $120.
He paid like maybe it was $12,000. It was a lot. I can't remember how many zeros.
Those are both large. That's a large amount.
It was a lot, shit ton of money for like a sword, a unique sword in some Japanese video game.
What?
Yeah, it was like virtual. It was a
virtual.
Yeah, no,
but it was real money
in the game. Real money,
not virtual.
He had to pay real money for the opportunity to buy this sword in the video game so that his character would have it in the video game. It's a one of a kind.
And we are fucked.
But it was like 12 grand or 120 grand. It was like a world record for the most people have spent
for a virtual,
for
not
a
real.
Virtual, And I'm just like, that's, I mean, you know, yeah, it's wasting time playing video games. It's not the most productive thing.
I would think that spending real fucking hard
cash.
Oh, people do it all the time in different games. They will spend real money for virtual items, but that's crazy.
Well, I can spend. I mean, I can understand.
Like, I mean, Chris has spent money on his smithing tools. That's like small, reasonable amounts of money.
$12,000
for his education, 4 years. It was worth it.
Well, you know, I took medical school in Skyrim for 7 years.
I could go to work the other day. I had an exam in medical Skyrim.
I can see this kind of stuff in all sorts of different media. Yeah. I was telling you, I'm playing this.
Well, I know World of Warcraft is a huge market for like
actual
characters.
Market.
Yeah, people buy stuff. Like people buy characters in that. Isn't that what they do? Yeah.
Well, there's the gold miners in like Korea and shit. I mean, it's just so fucked up. They're literally virtual gold miners. Like they, you know what I mean? Like people
hunched over.
Yeah, you've heard about that, right?
No,
these guys playing the video games they just build up money and they sell it to other people. They're like their job literally is to play the game and build up stuff and sell it to rich Americans.
That's
for
crazy.
And yeah,
we got too much money in this fucking country. And
not anymore.
Well, I don't know. It still seems insane to me.
People are paying real money for fake gold.
This is fucked up, man. It's so hard to judge things based on like. How do I judge when I'm like, I spent 9 hours today trying to think about what Witchblade would do when she was confronted an orc with a steam powered shovel? You know, I was like, what the fuck, man? I don't got a real goddamn job. What the fuck am I saying? But
yeah, I spent all day thinking of like 100 bear ads.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a real thing.
It's not a real thing. I know.
I don't know.
None of us know how to do anything. What is with
nothing
us?
Useful, don't make
anything.
We're all shit out of luck in the apocalypse, and all those fucking Korean gold miners are good to go.
Oh, mining real gold would just be like the video game.
Are you kidding? I watch all those shows on Discovery Channel and History. I know how to survive after the apocalypse. No problem. I'll be fine. It, you know, you just kind of go out.
I've got an axe.
Yeah, I hunt some stuff, and I'll be okay. Yeah,
I'm sure some of the smithing skills transfer.
To real life.
Hit A. So, where's the A button? Let's get to work.
Let's get to work. Let's get to... Where's my controller?
Wait, we got the big gloves on. There's like a cauldron.
Is that a hammer?
I mean, like, so here's this weird fucking thing, though, because have you ever had that? I work on Photoshop a lot, and I used to do a lot more. And literally, like, I had this day where I spent an entire day working on fucking Photoshop, and the Photoshop command at the time for going back one step
Control
was
Z.
Control Z.
Still is. Yeah.
So I went home after a day, like 9 hours at my fucking job doing Photoshop stuff. I spilled a glass of orange juice, and my head went Control Z. Like, literally, my mind literally just went, just Control
Z. Reverse
it,
go backwards.
Yeah,
Control Z button,
yeah.
That'd be pretty
But
sweet.
My mind was so used to being like, we fucked up, Control Z. Like,
Control Z.
Literally,
Control
my, Z. Yeah. So I can see some people getting so into their shit, like, playing a fucking video game.
The breakdown of reality.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even like, I mean... It's not going to be like what is that Tom Hanks movie where he gets so dissociated from reality, he ends up in the sewers chasing monsters and mazes or whatever. But it's not going to be that. It's just going to be.
Oh, God. You're going back on that one, man. That's a TV movie about
Dungeons and Dragons, after the kids that went in the sewers and killed
from reality.
Yeah.
But.
That was Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. He's the one that...
I rented that movie when I first started playing D&D, hoping that it would be like some awesome, and then
it was like a PSA made-for-TV movie. Didn't he kill himself?
Yeah. Well, he disappeared into the sewers.
Of course
sewers
he did. He's playing Dungeons and Dragons.
He's still alive down in those sewers, man. He's still alive down there.
Eating on alligators, and rats.
Orc flesh.
I've eaten orc flesh for many moons.
God, that is so insane to me, like, to think that at one point, like, the country was hysterical about Dungeons & Dragons. Like, in this country, like, it's more in the Midwest, but, like,
people were hysterical about
a fucking role playing game. Well, thinking that kids so were weird.
But the thing is, I one of my favorite things to do. So from Christmas, my brother got a book that was published in the 80s about it was a Christian book about how 80s toys were fucking up our kids. It was called like Terror in the Toy Box or something, and it was about how
by Frederick Wortham.
It was about from this crazy asshole. You can look it up. I can't remember the exact. I think it was called Terror in the Toy Box or something like that. But it was about how 80s toys like He-Man and G.I. Joe were making kids Satanist, gay, all these other things, you know? And it's so funny to go, like, to read that fucking thing now.
Masters of the Universe convention.
Have you looked around? I don't know.
But it's so interesting to read it now and, like, have this fucking fundamentalist asshole being like, oh, you know, this shit is making our kids this way and all this thing. And everybody I know that was into that shit is like the most well-adjusted, normal, you know, married person.
We are talking about your friends, Tim.
In the end, like, I'll take my nerd-ass friends over, like, the standard stockbroker or sports fan. Like, no offense to you guys, but...
Wow, Wood just got upset.
He's a stockbroker. He's a stockbroker and a sports fan.
Yeah.
Double win.
And a nerd.
Good in there.
And Wood would say, I'm not a stockbroker. I'm a hedge fund manager.
Yeah, he's just clarifying.
I'm not cutting down direct humans. I'm saying in general. Yeah. You know. But anyway, I thought it was so awesome to see, like... I wish Wortham could have seen the generation that grew up in the comics that he fucking railed on and be like, "Yeah, I was wrong. I fucked up."
Yeah.
I mean, like, they just turned out like fucking dudes. Like,
well, some of the most conservative fucking assholes came out of that generation. It's like Jesus Christ. I wish they would have.
Good
Lord, that would have been better.
Yeah. When I hear one of the biggest fans of Spider-Man turn off the dark is Glenn Beck. I kind of have
Big into it.
He's seen it like 20 times or something.
Seriously?
Yeah. One of the reasons it's been so successful is that a lot of Glenn Beck fans have seen it multiple times because he says it's a great story about, like, the American spirit.
Really? He does realize that Spider-Man is a liberal, right?
Not in his head.
No. He's talking about Norman Osborn.
Oh, he's definitely. Sorry.
I was going to say he's a J. Jonah Jameson fan. That's who Glenn's.
Truth teller.
Yeah.
Spider-Man is a menace.
That got me thinking. I don't know if you guys saw it, Bleeding Cool. There was some interesting articles where one guy wrote a counterpoint of like, liberalism is ruining comics, and Rich wrote conservatism is ruining comics. But the points that I thought were fucking hilarious that the guy who was like defending that liberalism was ruining comics was like, oh, they're always cutting on corporations and oil spills. Like, wait, do all conservatives go like, no, man, we fucking love oil spills.
Yeah.
We love them. They're fucking rad. This is the basis of our goddamn politics, oil spills. Yeah.
So we love the oil spills.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous.
Who likes oil spills?
Conservatives, apparently. Yeah. Which I know is not true, so.
Companies that clean up oil spills.
Yeah, those are jobs, Tim.
Raises the price of oil. I got oil stock. What?
So ridiculous. But I always think that's interesting because, like, everybody goes, well, I don't want politics in my comics. Like, oh, well, here, it's real easy. Superman's liberal, Batman's conservative, Iron Man's conservative, Spider-Man's liberal. There you go. It's done. It's not a,
Would you say Batman is conservative?
Frank
Miller's Batman.
No, he is. Yeah, well, obviously. Obviously, he's a rich guy.
But he doesn't use his, he's a rich guy, but.
He's rich?
Wait, you can't be rich and liberal? Steve Jobs was liberal.
Yeah,
he was super
but not
rich.
You can be a
Let's be
realistic. All
right, let's go.
A rich liberal if you don't dress up and beat up poor people.
Whoa, wait a minute. Who you beat up have any...
saying that the extension of the notion of justice via single
being
person...
Being rich.
And
so if you're rich, you can't...
You're untouchable.
If you're rich and you're...
Superman's the richest
justice,
on Earth. You just don't know about it.
No, but
conservative?
The notion of vigilantism is inherent.
I think Batman's one of the bigger liberals, in my opinion.
No way.
Yeah, so here's the thing, though.
The notion of vigilantism is inherently conservative.
Guys, stop. Because what you're going to have...
It is. I'm not cutting. I like Batman just as much as anybody else. But I'm just saying, the notion of dressing up in a costume when you're a rich guy and explaining
your
version of justice to poor people.
Well, then aren't they all?
Well, no, just Spider-Man. Just Batman and Punisher.
The problem
is they're all dressing up in a costume and being vigilantes.
Well, I mean, not exactly.
Spider-Man is.
Yeah, but he's also...
He beats up poor people.
No.
So if he won the lottery, he would be a conservative?
No, not...
I think you're...
It's not about money. I'm saying that the notions of what the characters were created in is what defines that their politics. And obviously, a guy like Batman, if you're talking about what Batman's primary function is, right, is
Well, initially he was fighting against, like, slumlords.
Sure.
And... Well, no, so was Batman.
Was he
fighting with
slumlords?
Yes. Gangsters.
Okay. I'm not saying...
The thing with superheroes is they're aspirational.
Put your own thing on it. Yeah.
They're aspirational. So what happens is everyone, whatever you think you're...
You don't like Batman, do you?
Whatever
Batman.
You think, whatever,
my favorite character,
whatever your worldview is,
you
I think
put,
you will
you
find it
that
in
on,
that
yeah.
because
yeah.
aspirational
well,
characters.
If it's well done,
yeah,
yeah. If it's well done, you put your politics on it, or you get no politics from it. That's the best scenario. But if we're breaking it down to goddamn,
and Frank Miller's Superman was
very conservative.
Yeah.
Right. He was the opposite. Yeah. Right. But that is not the Superman we've read in any other book. Besides.
Well, I mean, Silver Age Superman spent a lot of time. Sort of messing around and dicking around with middle class people, Jimmy Olsen. All he did was put pranks.
I disagree. If you look back at a lot of the Superman stuff that was coming out, you know, in the 50s and 60s, I mean, he was
He's a reporter. That's all you really need.
No. But you're talking about Clark Kent. I'm talking about Superman,
okay.
The costume guy that goes around and you know.
What a better costume! What a better secret identity than to dress up as a liberal.
Well, no, truth, justice, and the American way, right there.
That doesn't make you conservative.
It sounds a hell of a lot more conservative than a guy that slinks around and, you know...
What
and
was Prez?
Well, you could really...
What was Prez?
Prez was... Yeah. He was a hardcore... He's a downright conservative, that Prez.
Have you ever read...
And I always felt Lois Lane was a conservative.
She is
absolutely.
Conservative.
She's got comes from a military family. I mean, yeah, she's... Yeah, definitely.
But I would think she's liberal because she's rebelling against her parents. But she never gets along with her father in the comics.
Well, who does?
But I think that she espouses.
See, look where we're all. Everyone just puts their own imprint on.
I think so, but I mean, you could really you could say the best versions of all these characters are no politics. Like the best version of Captain America has no politics. He's just the ideals of America, the best version.
Yeah, because
right?
they're spending all their time.
He serves the flag.
He serves the flag, not the government. He serves the ideal. He's not. But I mean,
he wants
really,
quit
in some
me.
Way that's political, in my opinion, because
obviously,
you know what I mean. Like it's
yeah,
it's
if you really broke it down, he's a military guy. Of course, he's fucking conservative. Of course, he is.
Well, you know,
but he's also been played as like the ultimate whiny liberal.
But
you
here's the thing.
It depends on
but here's the thing: the conservative of his era.
Is the
is different than
is the
conservative
liberal current?
Yeah, exactly. Conservative 1944
is a liberal today.
You know, yeah,
I know, yeah.
So
that's also true. Well, I mean, that's you know, that's a whole nother debate, and I agree with you.
So we're not going to have a debate because you agree with me.
Well, I mean, but when I see those articles like this is you know. Politics. This is when I say, "Oh Jesus, we gotta get back to selling comics to fucking kids."
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like,
well, like Tom
now
said,
you know
it's
we fucked up.
What you want to see in it? You know,
yeah,
I mean, you're gonna pull.
You know what it is when people
but
complain
kids
about?
I never thought about
when
that
people
shit.
Complain about that. It's because they want to work in comics and they think they can't work in comics because it's too conservative
or too liberal,
and that's the reason why they can't work
in
comics. Yeah, that's why.
Yeah.
Yeah, like
the thing is, I worked at, and I always think this is funny because I'll see people like you know complain about how like editors when I've seen guys go, well, Chuck Dixon doesn't get a lot of work because he's fucking super conservative. When I worked at Devil's Due, which couldn't have been a bigger group of liberal dudes.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all Chicago guys. Every fucking one of us is liberal. We hired Chuck because he thought he was a good fucking writer.
Yeah.
I didn't agree with a single goddamn thing he's ever said, but I know he's a goddamn good writer, so we hired him. We didn't give a shit.
But that's one of those things, too,
so
where
what
people...
the hell?
People... It was like when they're like, he didn't get hired because of his politics. It's like, man, Marvel and DC or any company that's selling comics would hire anyone they thought... Could
they
make
would,
them.
Right.
Well, here's
they would hire a murderer
yeah.
if he could write a book that would sell 100,000
I don't know about
copies.
Murder, but like to think like they're like, well, we could
if
sell
Brian
a lot of books.
Michael Bendis raped children, they would still.
No, I mean,
not saying
like,
that he has.
Nothing like that, but I think people get really worked up about stuff where people ascribe like a lot of strange motives to
bias.
Decisions.
They
like they're like
bias,
like
shit.
Oh, they got rid of Wally West because someone there hates Wally West. It's like, man, if Wally West's book sold 120,000 copies, they would not
die.
Can't like yeah. This guy doesn't get jobs
this.
To like this.
Well, here's the
people
other,
always
like,
say this thing called
like,
media bias. You know what the media bias is? A dollar.
Yeah.
That's the fucking media bias. That's the only bias that exists. It's like,
does
people
it sell?
Like to say,
okay.
Like, yeah, yeah. It, you know, it's so fucking, it pisses me off. I could
well,
kick
here's
a fucker.
The other, like, okay, you're a very prolific writer in comics. How many times when you're sitting there writing a script, do you think about your own politics?
A lot, actually. I mean, I'll be honest about it. But.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean.
How often do you think about the politics of the characters that you're writing?
Very little. I mean, yeah. But the thing is like, okay, I think about it like this. That doesn't – I know what my politics are, and if I have a message, I think about it – if I think there's a message to be had from a story, which obviously there sometimes is, that I might consider my bias towards. But if a character is a – like, to me, you know, Sarah Rossini is a New Yorker. She's a cop. Her politics are probably liberal. Probably, right?
Vlad's a libertarian, right?
Yeah. But if I'm writing, like, I'm writing Bloodstrike lately, okay, military guys, you know, grew up in the fucking 40s. He's a conservative. I don't make them change the way I write the character. I know that about the character, but I'm going to do the best story. That's the job.
Well,
right?
But that's my point. Is like, you're just writing a story. You're not sitting there, unless the story
sure.
necessarily calls for, you're
yeah,
trying to
yeah,
make
yeah,
a
no.
point. But an average story, you know, a
you
comic story, are you sitting there going, well,
no,
I'm going to put, you know, I don't think, well, my point was, I don't think Chuck Dixon, regardless of his political views, is sitting
yeah.
there going, well, I'm going to put this in every story I write because the,
absolutely
you know,
not. And that, he didn't. I don't think
yeah.
he does. And the thing is, why should that matter? Like, why can't I enjoy a story by a conservative, about a conservative? Why would I not be able to enjoy that? It's so fucked up. What kind
listen,
of person
Sergeant,
am I?
Sergeant Rock is... probably a fucking conservative. You
yeah,
know
why
I mean?
You can't enjoy
and
it?
It's like,
I
mean,
what about Ice Cream Soldier?
I'm not sure.
Liberal.
I mean, my wife.
my wife Green Party. I'm thinking
Green Party for Ice Cream Soldier.
Wait, my wife's parents are like uber conservative, but they love the Beatles. Like, I'm not judging and saying, you can't listen to the Beatles. You love Bob Dylan. Like, Bob Dylan's the biggest fucking liberal on earth, and you love Bob. I'm not saying you can't enjoy his
I
music.
I like his music.
Well,
I'm a liberal,
and yeah,
I still... I like Chuck Dixon's work.
I do too.
There's a lot of Chuck Dixon comics I've really
I don't
liked.
Even know
I like,
what the hell I am anymore. I used to think I was a liberal. The older I get, the more conservative I get.
Which
more,
happens
you know
to
mean?
A lot of
yeah.
people. I mean, you know, it hasn't happened to me. It happened to my parents, but I've seen it happen to other people. And I don't care. It's fine. It happens to you.
Well, I think it's weird because it's one of those things where...
just tired of whiners.
People fight. Yeah, whiners.
Fucking whiners.
Fine. Always whining, want a handout. you know, it's like one of those things where... people find out something about a creator, and it's because comic fans are so fucking in tune. Like, hardcore comic fans are so in tune with creators.
Well, that's our fault.
God,
I'm
yeah,
on a
that,
fucking podcast right now that someone who's listening could say,
oh,
I hate
liberal
politics. I'm not going to
politics. I'm never buying
or if you yeah, never heard you talk but just read your books, they could yeah, probably
how would
never.
You probably know, except for Loaded Bible, which is obviously
yeah.
a liberal rant. But. How would you know? I mean, really. But obviously, I put myself out there. If you hate me,
then the other day,
I let you know that you could hate me.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? That's my fault.
Right, right.
I was proud that we were in Loaded Bible.
New York cops.
Pages.
You think New York cops are liberals?
No, but I think
oh.
I think they're
they vote Democrat.
Yeah, they vote Democrat. Yes, they do.
I don't think they're liberals.
No, yes.
It's called
Massachusetts.
Cops,
they are conservatives, but they will vote to protect those fucking pensions.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, that's an interesting point. I never thought about it that way, but the way that character, I think, is situated.
Because
I mean,
she's a woman.
Yeah. Oh, man, I don't even want to get started on that one.
I don't know where to go.
After such a rousing conversation,
we're talking about tasing people.
I'm gonna go tase somebody tonight.
Tase him once.
Would Sarah,
he'll be down.
Would Sarah Pazini use a taser?
No.
No?
No.
Well, what's
pepper fun? Spray?
What's,
nope.
Well, beanbag gun?
She's got fucking... She's got a witchblade.
Yeah.
Let's talk about witchblade. Congratulations. First issue just came out.
Thanks,
you are the current ongoing writer for Witchblade.
Yeah, so it actually came out. So.
Is the witchblade considered a non-lethal...
Oh, shut up, Tom.
I just want the parameter for how often she uses it.
That's issue 151. I mean, we're talking about a character that's got some legacy there.
Yeah, of 70 of those issues, which were written by one dude, who the current fans obviously revere with great...
Ron?
Yeah, Ron Marr. So, you know, obviously it's not
good. I got out of Witchblade at the wrong time. It's I think I collected all the way up to, like, issue 100, stopped reading about issue 60 or something.
Oh, really?
And so I've got a bunch of the Ron Marr stuff, which I haven't read, and I just need to go
back. We used to make fun of you for reading Witchblade.
You did used to make fun of me
yeah, we did.
For reading Witchblade.
You dicks.
Remember, he read it, like, all the way up to 100, and we made fun of him for the, you, like,
awesome.
You, like, bought it for 3 years and didn't
without
read it.
Reading,
yeah,
right?
Without
yeah.
reading it. We used to make fun of you all the time.
I always bought it, and I stopped reading it.
If you read it, it'd be fine. We didn't make
yeah.
fun
yeah.
of that. It was Witchblade. It was just the fact that
like you had to get
it.
You had to get it to 100,
yeah,
and then you stopped.
I don't
and then it got. You said it got good right after you stopped.
Right after I stopped.
Hey, this is sometimes where peer pressure helps. You know what I mean? Like yeah. he would not have stopped if we wouldn't have made fun of him. He'd still be buying. Well,
you might have.
Maybe be a good
well. Now I'm buying it again.
No, you're not.
Yeah, yeah.
You're lying. He gave you a free copy of
well,
it.
Well, I was gonna buy it.
Whoa.
He walks in and gives me a copy.
Guys, behind the scenes. All right, let's keep it cool.
So Witchblade I guess the first question, is this a good place to jump in if you are not familiar with the character?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's set up to be that sort of entry level thing where my job for the first issue was it works for you if you've read it and you. It works if you haven't.
Get spooked.
I thought a dude was dying, man. But
you okay over there, Jose?
Yeah.
Yeah, but,
yeah.
He
I mean,
thumbs up.
So part of the deal with the Artifacts storyline that they did was to, you know...
Create clean entry points. Right?
Clean entry points and also for Ron to sort of wrap up the ultimate storyline he was telling the whole time. 151 basically follows up from... all the things that Ron wrapped up, which his, you know, basically he defined, he made the Witchblade the sort of nexus of the larger Top Cow universe, which, you know, tied in all these things and any sort of, you know, sort of totally defined the way that their universe is set up, like a DC or Marvel universe. But, and he wrote it to the absolute conclusion with Artifacts 13. So Witchblade 151 follows after that, which is pretty fresh start. The character exists before. It's not a reboot. It's just...
I thought you were saying fresh like it's dope. Yeah, like it's a...
It is
like,
dope.
For a second, I was like, what? It's pretty
it's a
fresh.
Fresh start. It's new.
He threw me off for a second. All right, keep going. You just, I just had to let you know.
I'm doing my kin play thing. That's how I describe everything.
It's fresh.
It's pretty fresh.
But it's a pretty fresh start. I think you should... I think people should say that more. It's fresh. It's fresh. So it is a good jumping on point. Sorry, I just you're on a roll, and I just jumped right into your speech.
Completely derailed. But yeah, no, it is. Well, I mean, I know that there's that perception where it's, you know, I don't know why there's this weird thing about Witchblade where comic fans sort of like, oh, it's a titty book, and you know, it's just sort of stupid, and whatever. But it's I don't think it was ever that book, nor do I think a book that has sexy elements couldn't be intelligent and fun to read and a good comic. And I certainly don't think that that's been the case since Ron has done the book, which I think most people who currently read it would agree with. And I'm trying to do the sort of thing where it's like, you know, why not have a really great, awesome drawn book with a sexy antagonist who's awesome and it's also an intelligent, written detective superhero.
It does bother me that, you know... And a lot of times, I don't know if it's feminist, but it's like feminist supporters.
No,
or it's like
it's the fear of
they
sex.
Think, no, but it's like why can't a woman be like sexy and intelligent?
But women don't have a problem with that. Guys who live in basements who are afraid of women have a problem with that.
Do they?
Yeah, because the same guys will be like, you know, what is an awesome comic book? Like, and then they will shout like Crossed or fucking whatever, like the most violent, vile, rapist fucking thing ever, which I'm not saying that's a bad book, but the same guys will be like, oh, Which Boy is totally gay and cheesy. We'll think that like some kind of fucking, you know, uber violent Mark Miller thing is the greatest thing ever. Like, like cut off a dog's head and put it on a dude is awesome, but a girl in a miniskirt who like whoops ass is a fucking super.
We should live in a world where both are cool.
And as a guy that's written like we should live in writes a horror comic, cool. I would much rather have exploitation on the sex side than exploitation on the gore side, personally. But like, whatever. I don't know why that exists.
So it's the guy who goes to horror conventions.
I mean, yeah. I can certainly see some. You know, I can understand some of the reasons people might think that. I mean, initially, you know, when the book came out. At the time, you know, it was certainly, I mean, let's face it, the character was kind of created so that he could draw,
really,
you know,
Mark
could draw, yeah. You know, like hot sure. women in little to no clothing. And
but the book was, that's the weird thing is like, so going back and rereading all the old Witchblade stuff, it was never a dumb book. Like, never. Like, that is so bothersome to me that people are like, well, you remember when Witchblade was dumb and it had titties all the time? I was like, no, it was never. It used to be
It was never dumb, and it still got titties.
Exactly.
The titties never went away.
And that I think, fascinates the shit out of me.
But it's like, I think part of it is, in comics, it's so hard. So many people spend time in comics trying to get their property to have, like, an indelible image in people's minds. But then once you get that image...
That you don't want.
That is the image now. Yeah, like, that right, is yeah. what it's
You're
going
totally
to be. You know,
true.
Like,
you're totally right.
Yeah, like...
Like, Hank Pym will never not be a wife beater. Even though...
There's
Spider-Man
years and years and years and years and years of him not being that ever. Because
we have
also
really
punched his wife once. Yeah.
We but, have you know. Really great memories, and once we latch on to something and like, that's what it is.
Yeah.
That's it. That is now exactly what it is.
So fucking irritating. But that's the way it is. And, you know, whatever. The point being that, like, it was a book that used to sell a shitload and people loved it. And why it can't be that again, I don't know. But, you know...
Especially let's now just, that Tim's writing it.
But let's
why
just say...
Why can't it be?
If by chance it starts to sell shit.
Perhaps now would be a good time to have a resurgence. It would be very opportune.
Well, how have you changed the character? What's different about it? Why is it a good...
I don't think I changed anything, but so the end of
well,
Artifacts...
Well, you moved her.
Well, I did. But so the end of Artifacts... I don't want to ruin anything for you, but here, spoilers ahead, turn off the podcast if you're not into spoilers.
Never
don't,
tell them
don't
to turn,
ever
off
turn off
the podcast.
Okay. Well, they've gotten this far.
Put your fingers in your ears. Earmuffs.
Okay, keep listening. Yeah. Put it. Okay, I'll do this for a minute.
What
right.
a bunch of losers.
The end of Artifacts.
Spoilers, don't buy Witchblade 151 if you want to know what happened.
Tim, nobody listens to this show. We're not even recording. It's just us talking.
I just wanted to hang out.
This is made out of chocolate. You can just bite into this. Microphone's not real, man.
So the ending of the whole Artifact story made it so that the characters found out that their universe is a constantly resetting thing, which the person who holds the codex is allowed to put their stamp upon the very...
The key?
Yeah, right? The codex of the key. Yeah. Whoever is utilizing that can put their stamp upon the universe. So it's been restarted multiple times.
The editor-in-chief?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the villain of the story was a guy who had survived the last...
His name is Philip Sadler.
Yeah. The main villain was a guy who had survived the last restart. His name was The Survivor. And he had was trying to put himself... the reason he wanted to destroy it was to put himself back to his last universe. And what happens at the end of Artifacts is that they all are competing, and they find out that the Codex is actually Sarah's daughter named Hope. And... Sarah has to destroy her own daughter to restart the universe after it ends. And she restarts it, but Jackie, the darkness, Jackie Ascato, restarts it because he was the one who holds the codex. It's his daughter with Sarah. And he makes it in his own image. So in the new Top Gun universe, the daughter is his because he always wanted a kid. He brings back his dead girlfriend, who is now his wife, the mother of his daughter. And he's made his own perfect universe, and now Sarah is sort of the loser on that end of the thing because she was the other part of the equation. So our Witchblade starts with basically nothing. It's a little bit confusing because I'm not even 100% sure of what things happened and didn't in the old comics. But basically, Sarah is now in the position of not being the mother of the kid that she thought was hers. She's been fired from her job because she used excessive force by having a mystical artifact as a weapon. And
a taser.
Yeah, and that too.
Seriously, dude?
Yeah.
Awesome. You serious about that, Clark? Now.
So basically, and this point, so she's had to leave New York because she's lost everything. All the things that would have kept her there in the sort of old topic universe aren't there. She has no daughter. She doesn't have a boyfriend now. All those things that that would have happened didn't happen. So she's moved to Chicago because everything went wrong in her old life, and she's starting over. She's lost her ability to be a police officer, but she still has the skills of a cop, so she's a PI, and she's trying to make it work in a city that she doesn't know. So that's kind of our start on Witchblade. It was, it's kind of doing the urban fantasy thing with a, Chicago PI. I mean, obviously, everybody has pointed me towards the Dresden Files since I started working on this, which I haven't read. But our take is sort of just to do, a character who used to have sort of... I think the whole point of the Witchblade series was that everything was sort of normal and a character who was very well established, and the things that were supernatural that came into her life were the odd things. And now, at this point, the supernatural is almost a respite from a world that is super chaotic, and her normal life is what she's unfamiliar with. So it's kind of the other way around, which I love to do the character flip. But that's kind of the way that we're treating it. And it's basically like a New York City transplant. In Chicago, going, oh, fuck, it's a smaller city. I got this shit down. Mm-hmm. And obviously Chicago, if you live here, it's not New York, but there's a whole lot of reasons it's not New York. It's not because it's not as big. It's its own character. So, wanted to throw a little bit of 9 years of living in Chicago and, like, really sort of being fascinated with the way the city works into a comic book I wrote, which was an awesome opportunity.
She, would you say she's living above the Green Mill? Which is cool.
Well, she's not her office. Right down the
street.
So,
Uptown's filled with a lot of crazy people. So that's like a really good.
And the cool thing is,
do you talk about why Uptown is crazy? Is there some mystical reason as to why? Some hellmouth.
Well, our whole story is going to be
the Aragon. It's underneath the floor. The Aragon is a hellmouth.
Joss
Whedon.
One of the things that when I started, I had an idea to do a story about Chicago. And a reason why Chicago is the way it is, in sort of like a, metaphysical sense. And when they asked me to do Witchblade, I was like, oh, I can use that story. And the idea is just sort of like, look, there's other big cities, and why is Chicago so specifically associated with corruption? What it is about this town that makes that happen? And like, instead of going with a whole lot of geopolitical reasons for that happening, we're going to take it and be like, well, here's the here's the dark, fun, creepy monster version of that.
It's the blood of the Blackhawks from the plains.
But yeah, so it's
it's Iroquois
like
Indian.
The Iroquois Indian. Sweat, tears, and blood. Generations.
Stockyards.
Oh yeah, I mean we use.
You gotta use Bubbly Creek.
Oh, Bubbly Creek.
Do you know what Bubbly Creek?
I checked it out.
You got to use Bubbly Creek somewhere. That's okay.
A whole bunch of stuff. One of the awesome things that
don't
I
just stay
to,
on the north side here either.
I did.
Come on.
First arc actually takes place on the south side.
Good. So. Okay.
Though Sarah lives above, she doesn't live in her office is above the Green Mill, which to my delight, that office building is still unrented. So there's literally a building above the Green Mill that has been unrented since I started writing the story in August. April. So her office is literally the unrented building above the Green Mill. But she lives in Uptown.
The Green Mill is a classic historic jazz club here in Chicago. So.
Yeah, notorious for being the place where Al Capone and his cronies would escape if cops showed up. Also notorious for having three ghosts who apparently are entranced by the music and can't leave after they died. It's a good story. So
it's been in countless movies. It's used as a movie set all the time.
It's a beautiful place. But the idea was to sort of like, I want to set a crime noir sort of, film noir story in Chicago and use supernatural elements. So that's my take on Witchblade, I guess, in a very short version. But also not sort of poop upon what became before. So it's a little bit of a you know,
balancing act.
It's a balancing act, right.
But you can do that by moving her out of the city, moving her somewhere else. It's all new experiences.
Yeah, so. And I think the point being sort of like, what do you do with a character that whose comfort zone is how she dealt with the supernatural? Now make the supernatural her comfort zone and make the city she lives in the stranger, the outside thing, the thing she has to adapt to. So, yeah, it's kind of fun. I think it'll work. The Topka has been kind of awesome about being like, yeah, do whatever you want. Mark Silvestri's thing to me while I was at a party in some club in San Diego was, man, just have a good fucking time.
Hey, man, just have a good time. It was like at a foam party, probably. Just like...
Well, there are two creators that are so closely tied to this book, and that's Silvestri and Ron Mars now.
Yeah, Mike Turner, obviously.
Well, sure. But do you is there one in particular that you're like, I don't want to let this guy down? Is it Silvestri? Is it is it Mars? Is it either one?
It's everyone.
That's interesting. Well, I mean, I just can't. I was thinking about it today. I mean,
ultimately, it's Silvestri's character.
Sure. I did this thing, this commentary thing today where somebody sent first a website, Broken Frontiers, they do this like commentary thing. And they said, explain like why you did whatever. And I realized I hadn't thought about why I did anything since the moment I wrote it. Because I just never, like when someone says, hey, this is, you're going to write this, I just fucking do it. And then afterwards I'm like, oh shit, I should have shit my pants doing this. I should have been terrified to do this. But I never think about it while I'm writing it. And after the fact, I was like, oh, that could have gone real bad. You know what I mean? Like,
probably,
but I never
probably
do it.
Probably serves you pretty well.
What the fuck was I doing?
Because on the other end of it, if you just start thinking about all the shit you're afraid of, you'll never get it
done.
Don't write scared.
Yeah, no. But
don't write
it's
scared.
It's not even that. It's just like,
just think boobs, brains. You'll be all right.
Yeah.
Just keep those two things in mind.
Right. Well,
boobs, brains,
be...
ghosts. Yeah. Boom, boom, boom.
Boom, boobs, brains, boob.
Boo, yeah. Triple B.
Boobs, brain, boo. That's it.
There you go. That's it.
The witch blade, that's the fucking formula. Thing right there. That's the formula, man. Oh, I love it. Fucking boobs, brain, boo.
You just got your first pull quote, Sal.
Yeah.
Great. Thank
Dude,
God.
There you go. Boobs, brain, boo. Yeah,
I went on the
let's
back
let's
the
talk heart. About your artist for a second. It's someone that it's a kind of new artist on the scene.
Yeah, I mean the only thing. Diego was sort of Ed Bennis's assistant on whatever Ed Bennis was drawing for DC, probably JLA or something like that. And his style is really sort of based on that. But when we originally
Green Lantern or something,
something with girls in their butts.
He was doing JLA for a while.
Yeah, I think so whatever the case was, when
I was reading it, then.
I think Tom made the observation that it's really hard to get a boob shot and an ass shot
but
from the same person
it
in the
broke,
same
it's
panel.
It's the broke back pose.
Yeah. And broke back pose. Yeah.
He did. He figured out it. Yeah.
But so Diego was, I think, he's working with Ed Bennis, and then he was, whatever the case was, they sent us a couple of artists that Topka wanted to work with. And I picked one guy, and Silvestri picked Diego. And obviously, he's the boss, so he got the job. And now I look at it and go, oh, no, that was the right guy. Because the things that I write in a script that... Because I'm more like... I don't think my natural instinct is to go top cow with it. Like, to say, like... I think there was one panel I wrote in here, which was a character standing. It was going to be sort of a... I thought of it in this sort of, like, Ed Brubaker, Sean Phillips angle, you know what I mean? And
that's your you know what that is? It goes back to the beginning of this podcast when you're talking about your peers influencing you and
sure.
letting go of the it's like, oh, I don't want to do top cow because that's lame. I don't want to,
Well, it was just this weird thing where I come from a different background. I read Witchblade when I read it the whole time, but I don't think I draw that way. So when I describe something, I think about the way that I would draw it.
Sure.
Which I don't think I'd draw top cow. But there was a panel that I described in a certain way, and then Diego came back with it. I was like, that isn't what I said, but that's way fucking rad. Like, I just think...
Was it fresh?
It was fresh.
I like this. It doesn't actually look too much like Ed Bennis, actually.
Yeah,
it has a little bit of the feathering in the blacks. You can see that.
But he's a really good storyteller, which is where I was like, okay, he sold me. Like, I actually wasn't... Yeah, he does a really good job. Actually, it's the second page, I think, where... Yeah, so there was a scene where, like, Sarah's supposed to be in the prison, and she's supposed to be like, I could get out of here. And my take on it was, like, an angle, almost a shot from like a prison camera, where she's looking down at something, and you don't know what it is.
He's like a little bit softer than Ed Benes in the way. Like, yeah. Ed Benes is really like ripped, like, you know, like very gritted teeth, and this is like a, like sort of like, but like a little bit softer on the edges.
Which might be partially me saying don't have him be gritted teeth.
No, I like it. It's good. That's me saying it's. I like.
But
it
in
actually.
Any case,
yeah.
What I like was that I didn't. I that's what I was thinking of, and then Diego turns it in. I was like, oh, that makes a great page. It's not what I would have said. I thought it should be, like, I think of things, I think a little more like, I don't know, maybe sort of nine panels on a page, more cinematic or whatever, and sort of slower. And he thinks of things like top cow. And that's why Mark was like, that's the guy for the job. Put the guy who would write Skyscrapers of the Midwest with the guy that draws. That's, I mean, my sensibilities come from that sort of thing, besides the boobies and the butts.
Would you ever think, you know, it's because I know that that you're still you know, an artist and out there drawing, the thought of actually drawing a fill-in issue at some point ever crossed
your mind? Yeah, I would love to do that. I think that's one of those things, like I remember someone saying that, it might have been Bendis himself, like people think that the idea of Bendis writing Batman is better than what he would actually do. I think the idea of me drawing Witchblade is probably better than
then what would actually happen. You'd be like, man, if I got a hold of that and I did one issue, it'd be just...
Yeah, it's so awesome.
It'd be so great.
Yeah. Do it, you know, bring the annuals back to do Witchblade annual.
Yeah, but I would love to do it. I mean, I think it would be a great... the ultimate thing I think as a comic guy is if when you're me, I want to write and draw the same thing. I mean, to this day, you know, Ant-Man and Wasp always be the thing. I'm like, oh, that was the best job I ever had because I got to do both. And whether anybody fucking liked that book, I don't know. But
I liked it.
But it was me getting to be like, all right, here's what I would do with a Marvel comic book, you know. So other things that you write or you just draw, maybe it's just sort of 50% of what you would want to make a mark on something. So, it would be interesting, I think, you know. But, I mean, Diego is just so fucking I think –
Well, it's got to be hard, you know, too, being an artist as well as a writer. You know, I think I would think that, you know, guys that aren't artists that are just writers, and while they may think visually when they're writing something, a lot of times it's just like, well,
you're drawing layouts in your head writing.
Yeah,
you
it's
have
not the
to,
same
yeah.
thing. So, whereas you say, oh, well, I'm just going to write this and then I'm going to send it to the artist and see what he sends back. Where you're really, you know, a lot closer to that. Idea of it when you're writing it of what it's going to look like. So when you see an artist come back with it,
the thing is, even for myself, I write full scripts. Like everything I've drawn that I wrote, I still wrote a full script for it. It's not like I went in there and just drew layouts and then did dialogue over the top of it.
You didn't Marvel style it for
yourself?
I did.
I'm still so anal that
fucking Tim Seeley artist is going to fuck this up. Yeah. Look at Tim Seeley, the writer, really screwed me on this panel. What's he thinking?
But it's like, it's literally, to me, two different things. So, even when I do both, I still approach it like, this is me the writer and this is me the penciler. So, there you go.
Wow. That is you, the disgusting bastard.
Yep.
Well, I'm just glad that Top Cow ushered you in style, in true Top Cow fashion, with the cardstock cover.
Cardstock.
And the gold foil logo.
Yeah, I mean, this very isn't sweet. The main version. I think this is the... Well, they have all these different versions of the cover because they do up...
I want to see that gold foil when you get a chance.
This is cover D.
Oh, shit.
Holy, how many fucking covers do you guys have?
I think there's F.
Wow.
There's Fs of them.
I did a cover.
John Tyler Christopher, J. Scott Campbell.
But I mean, it's like just this epic level of like super talented people lined up. You know, I mean, Top Gun doesn't fuck around. They do super nice objects. They're beautiful objects. There's a nice little
shit. I'm probably gonna have to start fucking reading Witchblade now, aren't I, Tim? God damn it!
Was Joe's comics a Top Cow imprint? That was like an imprint
under the
imprint.
Joe Straczynski. Yeah.
Those are some of my favorite comics of that era.
Midnight Nation.
Midnight Nation was so damn good.
I didn't like Rising Stars at all, but I loved
Rising Stars.
Did it?
I've not read Rising Stars.
I need to go back and reread it. Now,
seriously, Midnight Nation is one of my top 20 comics ever.
Really?
I fucking loved it. Dude, Gary Frank.
Oh, Gary Frank's
along.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well,
I liked the story too. I did like the story.
Rising Stars. I loved. It was. It was. I'm going to butcher his name. It was like Kauchu or...
Kucha.
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 He was at C2E2 last year, and I had no idea and totally missed him. He doesn't do
a lot of comic stuff anymore.
When's C2E2 this year?
It is April 13th, 14th, and 15th.
Fuck.
God so what damn. I'll tell you, though, when I... Because I knew that you were familiar with Witchblade because you and I had talked about it before. Mm-hmm. So I was actually, Chris, I was really hoping to hear what you thought about the book. And
Chris is the biggest Witchblade fan.
I don't think you've actually read it.
I have not read it yet.
You would think that.
I'll go home. I'll call you around 11 o'clock tonight.
Just send me a text.
I'll be playing Skyrim.
This is a fucking trap, Tim.
I can tell you what Chris thought of the book.
I haven't read it yet.
No, I'm going to give you your opinion from
it. Oh, okay.
All right, Pat Brower from Challenge Comics is going to give...
You thought it was pretty... I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
You thought it was pretty awesome that all these great Chicago landmarks are showing up.
Yeah,
all right. Thinking, hey, she lives above the green mill. She goes to Neo. How great is that? It is the perfect jumping on point whether you've read Witchblade before or not. And we have had more people than we thought
because of
that. And that's kind of great. That's what you want out of a new creative team. And you don't have to know... anything about the character going into this? It's a perfect place.
There you go, Pam Brown.
Well, this is what I'll Tim, because you're such a good friend of the show, and we love you so much. I think next episode, between now and then, we'll all three of us we will read Witchblade. All
right,
and we will all give you. On the show, we will have a Witchblade moment.
We'll have a live reading.
Well, I'll talk about Witchblade.
No, not a live reading. We will have a Witchblade minute where we all discuss what we thought about this first issue of yours. All right,
I'll be curious.
How's that sound?
Don't fall for the trap where Chris is going to call you at 11, because that's just a way for him to like get your phone number and like, get his way into
Also,
your
you
life.
Have a new girlfriend, and just, it's all good.
It's not good.
No, I will not call you at 11 o'clock tonight. Call you at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Hey, Tim. It's Chris.
Timmy.
Red Witchblade. Got a lot of problems.
Listen, a couple of suggestions here.
Remember what Val said about that He-Man piece of shit? Well,
really
strap it on.
Really wish you would have run this past me before.
Well, no. I mean, that's the weird thing I was thinking about is like, how many guys have had to follow up a fucking creative team of... And, hey, who followed Stan Lee and Jack Kirby after Fantastic Four 102?
I have no idea.
It was still Stan Lee
and somebody else.
Somebody else.
But here's the fucking you sense that, oh god, this is my fucking lot in life, you know, like to be those guys, the guy after the epic run. But like,
that's right, dude.
Well,
listen, bro, it's cool.
The only thing I could do is say, I'm not Ron. And I think the character's great, and here's why I do. You know, like, that's the approach, right?
I think what you have to start to look at as a comic book creator is to certainly not ignore what's gone on in the past, but try and look beyond it and go, well, let's find a new audience, bigger audience for it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it,
and you know you're going to alienate people, and like I wish that wasn't the case, but sometimes like, I mean, I know that sort of the way Ron approaches things was when they first sort of said, "Hey, here's Witchblade," and he said, "I'm not interested in making the kind of book that it was before." Right? You can ask Ron; he'll tell you that was exactly the approach he was taking on it, and I have no problem with the way the book was before. You know what I'm saying? Like. That's not a criticism to anybody. It's simply...
It's a personal taste thing.
I was totally fine with the way it was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think you have to have a certain, like, one man's judgment on something, the way they want to do something, doesn't necessarily mean it's right or wrong. It's just that was the way that he did it. And it made for a great story. But... But I'm just not that guy. Like, I'm, you know, obviously I come from Hack Slash. I prefer sex over violence. I prefer fun over serious.
That's a fucking epitaph right there on your tombstone.
Sex over violence, baby.
Tim always preferred sex over violence.
I prefer fun over serious. I prefer, character over story. Like, that's just the way I approach things. So hopefully, you know, that's okay With
less historians, more pioneers.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that's a great advice. But I mean, you know.
Oh, that's
you,
a good. Wow, we're getting lots of tombstones written up here. Everyone's getting one tonight.
That's what we need to count. It's funny. I heard it on the radio. It had nothing to do with. It was had to do with sports. But I heard that this morning on the radio, and I was like, "Wow, that is a great."
What is it again?
It's less historians, more pioneers. That's what
amazing.
We need. It's fantastic. It was actually like someone talking about the Bears. Like
that's fantastic.
You know what I mean? Like I think happened to catch it like on my drive in.
Is it because they hired Mike Tice as their offensive?
Maybe, but
they'll talk about that later.
It was just a very phenomenal statement. And I just thought about in relation to art and comics, and it's like. We need less historians and more pioneers.
Because it's a lot of historians.
Yeah. It really is. And I think we look backwards too much. Not that we should ever not, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Look at the history and look at what's come before. But
fans should look at history.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
The creators
should look forward and be pioneers.
I inadvertently, was giving a friend advice about some shit the other day. And I was like, oh, I should have wrote that down, which was... she was talking about sort of some problems with a friend or whatever. And I just said, sometimes the best way to make a mark is to leave a scar. I was like, oh, wait, that's true, though.
Fucking
shit, that's going on my tombstone.
And in a weird way, I didn't mean it, but and I thought about it, I was like, that's fucking true.
That's deep, goddamn.
I know. I didn't even fucking mean to say something that. It was just whatever. But then I thought about it. I was like,
that's some profound shit you're laying down
there. Well, it's
there.
Just weirdly
she then went out and fucking cut her with a razor blade.
But in a weird way,
weird
like,
shit,
sometimes
man.
You gotta, you know, you gotta, you can't compete with the sort of way it was, and you can't make it happen. You gotta just nuke it and just go on from there. And maybe that's. Yeah, I like it. I love the less historians, more pioneers. I think that's...
my new mantra.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't leave a... if you're going to leave a mark, make it a scar.
There you go.
No fat right. chicks.
No fat chicks. Cold. Open this fucking beer for me, will you? Somebody?
All right, well... I don't know if we could end on anything better than that mantra.
Everyone, we all... walk away with a little bit of wisdom.
Jesus Christ.
We all have our mantras, right? Shit happens.
So you may read any comics?
I read Skyscraper.
Yeah, we know. Anything else? Anything? Chris? No?
I actually have to take off.
What?
Yeah, I have to meet a friend at 9:30.
What friend?
I know.
Dude, talk about a total baller move.
I thought
on air announcing.
I'm sorry. I gotta go.
I have to leave now.
You know, we're creeping up on 2 hours.
Are we really?
Yeah.
Sure.
Wow.
That's why I thought. I'm sorry, guys. Quick. I will.
Right. Well, you know, I'm going to leave too.
Next month.
Well,
I'm not going to let Tim show me up.
So real quick, before we let Tim go, we've got Witchblade. Jump in, issue 151. I'll give you a call tomorrow at 8. We'll talk about it. Also, Hackslash ongoing at Image.
Still happens, yep.
Check out all the awesome stuff at 4-Star Studios.
And Bloodstrike comes out in March.
Oh, that's
so
right, yeah.
Tell your retailer or Bloodstrike. Seriously?
Bloodstrike?
It's the coolest thing I've ever done.
Really?
Just saying.
You say that every time.
It's the coolest thing I've ever done.
Double Feature Comics.
Yeah, Double Feature Comics. 4-Star Studios, doublefeaturecomics.com. We still purvey the cheapest anthology digital comic on the market with the highest quality, so I think you should still check it out.
Awesome.
It's true that we're doing sponsorship.
It's my
and then,
don't
start
with price. Don't start with price.
Don't start with price.
Value.
Just quality.
And
quality.
Mike Norton and I have a
3 days of fucking advertising school.
No, they told us that the first. Don't mention price.
Really?
Yeah,
it's awesome
because people don't like to be defined by like.
Well, here's
how much
price.
Money they spend on things.
Free. It's Mike Norton and I have a story in the Image 20th Free Comic Book Day issue that launches a new series. So. We're real happy about it.
Nice.
You
wait,
it
what?
Really?
You and Mike
we're launching
a
new Image series, and it debuts in the Image 20 Free Comic Book Day
awesome.
Book.
So, sweet.
Yeah. Covers include some pretty epic, epic cover art.
Yeah. These covers go to E, F, G. Which letter of the alphabet are we talking about?
Just one.
B.
Yeah. Just
Coat a. Noble versus Battle Plug. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God, we should do that.
There is a cover. One.
Well, I just want to let you know I've intensively studied, you know, metaphysics and paranormal activity in Chicagoland area. If you ever need a little,
God, you wouldn't believe how many days I've spent reading. Like I actually spent a whole day yesterday reading Chicago gang history.
Oh yeah.
And then the day before that, I spent doing
Blackstone Rangers,
Resurrection Mary,
Over at Archer Avenue.
Yeah.
You want to know about like Chicago?
I don't sound believe me.
I have books and books and books on like Chicago.
Really?
Paranormal.
I didn't know that about you.
Bachelor's Grove. You got to do something.
I did. We did a story. 156 is Bachelor's Grove.
Fantastic. What?
Oh, seriously, I shit you not. 156.
Bubbly Creek. There's some interesting.
Oh, I know this. I know. I looked it up. All right.
Chicago Gang.
I'm just saying. If you ever need any. You know.
Oh, I was just there. Yep. I know all about the Blackstone.
If you need someone to write a fill-in,
Blackstone Pete. I know the shit. I was doing a lot of research. So,
you can use that as a research. They have a kind of an ongoing map that.
Yeah, all the neighborhoods. I know what my neighborhood is run by now.
Hey, Simon City Royals, baby.
You guys yours? We are Latin Kings. I have a Latin Kings neighborhood, but they don't. Apparently, they don't enforce a lot in my neighborhood. They're not real big on.
Are you selling? You probably don't have to worry that much if you're not selling drugs.
Yeah, don't give a shit. Did you know about the two alliances in Chicago? There's two gangs, basically. There's like 60 gangs, but there's literally two major alliances. Yeah. And the only time they fight is when the two major alliances clash. Yep. In Chicago, which is mostly just in the south and west side, apparently. Because most of the gangs on the north side are pretty well affiliated. But, wow, I didn't know this about Chicago at all. But thank you, Wishblade.
Are you afraid to go walk down a street?
If you go to Chicago Gangs, that website, though, where they're like, listen, we're not glorifying gang activity. And then the next page you click to's got like
the
rap
business.
Money, bitches!
Did you know about the business cards?
Ballin'!
No. All right, here's a really interesting thing about Chicago gangs. I just want to point this out. When gangs move into a neighborhood, they often pass out cards, which are basically business cards, that display who runs the corner and has the names of all the major guys in the gang on the card. And it's actually a collectible item. You can go online and try to buy like 60s and 70s and 80s business cards from gangs in Chicago. I got fucking into this shit while I'm writing Witchblade. Like, I got way more into it than I needed to be.
You fell down a fucking rabbit hole.
I did. Yeah. I was like, oh, wait, that's a sweet fucking Latin Kings card, you know? Like, that's a sweet Black Peace Down fucking card.
Oh, I'm putting really that right next to Wonder Bread He-Man on my shelf.
And that wraps it up. I'll take it on.
Thanks, sir.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right, be good.
Well, all right.
All right.
We had a little education, a little gang information.
And, guests just leave right while we're recording.
Yeah, just in the middle of recording. They
total baller.
Well, see what it is.
Puts on his leather jacket.
Just
boom.
Gets on his motorcycle.
Hey, fucking jumps on his bike.
The Fonz. It's the.
It's what happens whenever the guests when the guests reach a level of familiarity.
It's that top cow money, man. Fuck you. You know that's a Mark Sylvester move. I'm out. Bam. Leather jacket. Motorcycle. Gone.
Larson didn't even do that whenever we
had him. Yeah. No shit. Jesus.
Well, I guess the episode's done.
I guess that's it. Yeah. All
right.
Unless you guys got something you want to talk
next time
about
we're leaving suit? Before the guest is done.
Yeah,
we're going to be like,
man. We got to go.
Yeah, just hit the
keep talking. Yeah.
Just hit the space bar and command.
Yeah,
desk,
it's fine. Yeah. You can send me the computer later.
That's cool. That's cool.
We got to get out of here.
Yeah. So, Happy New Year, everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I will say this one time only, never, ever, ever again. Tom, good luck to your team in the playoffs.
Oh, for the Packers? Oh,
yeah. Fuck that.
Yeah.
I love
you, Tom, but there's no fucking way.
It was a good 2000. It was a good 2011. Yeah. Let's see what.
I owe Tom that after the NLCS this year.
You have my sympathy that your offensive coordinator had to be paired with the passing coach.
I hope which is weird. Breaks his fucking neck. That's my sentiment.
Oh, that's mean.
Oh, hey.
That's mean. You could wish that they
football.
Lose.
Football's mean.
You could wish that they lose without him getting hurt.
I want a serious injury, you know, maybe life-threatening. Maybe.
I hope that Jay Cutler just keeps the face that he has.
Is it true that the Bears have named Mike Tice the offensive coordinator and running coordinator, and they are hiring a passing coordinator.
That has to be the that's like the craziest thing that I've ever heard, right?
It's like the College of Coaches with the Cubs.
How could you have one coach for running and one for passing? I mean, right? That's weird, right?
They have, is it going to be like the quarterback
coach? I think it's a consultant position. It's kind of a consultant.
It's got to be a quarterback coach. Okay. That's good. Quarterback
bring
coach.
Bring in there, you know.
I bet there's going to be a separate quarterback coach.
There will be
a pass. There will be a separate. Yeah. And even Sal is just like, yeah, there will be a
coach.
Passing coordinator.
Passing coordinator.
It's a Chicago bureaucracy.
Offensive line coach. Well, what? You have coaches for every position. What's the big deal? It's maybe they're breaking new ground. Maybe it's a whole new.
I would say they might be.
Why do you got to be mired?
I'm just saying. Listen, I would believe they're breaking new ground if Mike Tice wasn't the one that was.
What? What's wrong with Mike Tice?
He was
a bad
awful.
Head coach.
He was.
Well, that's a different job. That's a whole different responsibility.
Listen, if you're happy with it, I'm happy with it. I'm happy with it.
I'm hoping they all get fired next year. You know, that's a complete disaster.
Burn it down.
Yeah. And they just,
now, we can continue this conversation without recording it.
Absolutely. All right, everyone, have a fantastic rest of your January. Happy holidays and Happy New Year. We will be back in February, and it will probably, I would assume, be a little bit chillier here in Chicago. So
probably 5 feet of snow.
So, all right. Everyone, read comic books, have fun. We'll be back in February. In the meantime,
hope Aaron Rodgers dies.
We'll be back in February.
Your wishes don't make anything come true.
No, absolutely not. If they did, I can't wait for next year
when the Bears use all their timeouts in the first quarter because they can't decide if they're passing or running. Because their two coaches are arguing with each other.
And around comics.
We're good with that.
It's good.
Okay, bye-bye. I'm gonna spread some information.
Oh, hey, listen.
Get up.